ever seen before. May I welcome you and welcome our guest. Little one and others over here. Before we begin, may I ask your brothers some Mary? Do you know whether any of these city councilmen are coming on the debate board with you or anything?
No, the only one I know
definitely is Mike Chapin. Washington, D.C. Okay. Well, we'll go on. Get started. Folks are picking up that. We'll take 3 minutes out of each minute. Live the time. I think each one has a report that we're talking about that. Dated,
There's
another Chairman, do we keep a record of these minutes on the file in your office, all these?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Any reactions to the minutes? Corrections? Notes? Yes, Bob?
Well, I'd like to, I certainly don't read what I said in these minutes, and I'd like to have them corrected to the things I said, because I think that the way they came out, they sound just negative. And I think you have a tape of this. And I think it's partly true, but I'd like to make certain, call attention to certain corrections. First of all, in terms of conflict.
What page are you on, Bob?
Page 3.
Page 3. Okay.
I pointed out that in the, you asked me to stick strictly to the conflict, discussion of conflict and discipline. And I think I pointed out in that discussion that many counselors do have pupil personnel credentials. I didn't say that they were strictly people from the classroom. I think that this is a misrepresentation of what I said. Although I said there was a tendency to select people from the schools, and these people, in many cases, were people who were rewarded for good service. This was a way, this was a status position in many of the schools. And in some cases, they were people, and I don't have figures, that weren't trained in conflict. And then I went on to point out that their role was mainly, in fact, they're label advisors, although on the term, on report cards and other official documents, you still have the term conflict. And this is somewhat confusing. And the role of an advisor, first and foremost, is to get a kid through high school or junior high school, fulfilling his academic requirements. And many counselors have heavy caseloads, and it makes it very difficult for them to do the job. Now, I also said in terms of the trophy mentality, I said that there was a tendency in some schools to have PE men or people with PE backgrounds in the remedial programs. This is not a generalization for every school. You have to examine each school. When I was talking about my own school. I specifically quoted 9 out of 13 people teaching in the remedial program who have a PE background or implications. And I did say there were individuals who were PE who could do a good job. You have to examine this individually. But the point is well taken that I think your training does have some relationship to your job. And so I think that's another point.
You're like moving on to that other page 4.
Yeah, this is on page 4. In terms of the discipline statement, let's see.
Second
paragraph. Top of the page. Yeah. Yeah, I did say that. Yeah, Russell, on the discipline, I wouldn't say strictly rigidity, but. Yeah,
that one's all right.
Yeah.
You want the concept clarified and included more to reflect your total perception and presentation.
Yeah, I think the way it comes out here, they're flat. Glittering generalities with no qualifications, and I think that's a misrepresentation and unfair to all involved. And I think as I went along last time, I tried to qualify my remarks.
Mother.
Yeah, I think that we discussed this particular point in our interim committee. I don't know whether you want me to go into it, because I think it will clarify Mr. Russell's point. And we met three times. The first time with Mary and Mrs. Castellan to develop devise a procedure for the dialogue, and I think this is what Mary Wilson report. Why we decided to do it this way, of course, in the next report. So, right. Mary, if you want to talk to that point, then we can talk to the report. But why the minutes were taken in this manner rather than taking the
We decided to try a new system. Rather than going to the lengthy minutes that we've been coming up with pages and pages and pages and the amount of time and effort that's gone into it, we decided again that we would keep the tape as the official dialogue minute recording. And we'd try a new system this time that Mrs. Costello would record the highlights of the discussion that was taking place. And we did put her on the spot last time because we asked her to do it for the first time this time. And she had not really been taking minutes for that particular purpose last time. She'd been taking minutes for her own information. So this time I think they might not be as complete as they would be from here on. But Mrs. Costello will be taking the minutes and she'll be submitting them to our department. We will reproduce them by the Wednesday following the dialogue for a meeting of the interim committee. And at that meeting, the interim committee will drop a bill of particulars from the discussion, drop a list of special people to be invited to the next dialogue discussion, and then drop an agenda. Mrs. Costello will then mail letters of invitation accompanied by the bill of particulars that we have drawn up to all those people that we have decided to be special invitation people. These letters will then be followed up with phone calls. Our department in turn will mail out the minutes and the agenda on the Friday following the dialogue. Mrs. Costello will be notifying me of responses that she has had from people who have received special invitations. Those people who have indicated they will be able to attend the dialogue. We will draw a place card for those people only. This was to resolve that problem about who are to be given reserved seats and what name cards will we have. We decided it would be a real big hassle to have everyone with name cards all official dialogue. So I think we do want to take care of the reserved seats for those people who have been specially invited and indicated that they will be coming. Those will be the only reserved seats. The rest will be on a first-come, first-served basis on the number of seats that we have in this room. We also got to really doing a list of official dialoguers in terms of agency and individual representation. We have that for our interim committee use. And that's about basically what we do.
All right. Thank you. Bob, I think then that we will pick up your points in terms of the content and the reflection, the inclusion, so that it's better reflected and see if we can at least satisfy your reservations there.
One other point, I also, in the presentation, did mention many positive things that the district was doing, and there's very little positive in this.
All right, we still have the tape from that. Maybe the interim committee can ask you to come down and do a rough draft to see that at least it's covered, yours and any other objections that might be raised.
Carol, what we decided also is that we will keep the tape as the official record and that anyone will have access to it as long as they make an appointment with Mary so that the machine will be available at the time. The purpose of doing this very short summary, which we call minutes, is only to identify the issues that will give us the content for the discussion of the following dialogue. And as we did today, this is going to be the format of our dialogue. We identify the issues and that should be delineated on the agenda. And then, Carol, if you want me to go on with the interim report, we'll have to put the what we did for this particular meeting.
All right, in just a second, let's make sure.
Comment that I think it would be appropriate whenever anyone wants a clarification, as in this case, Mr. Russell, there would be quite appropriate to let such an individual file a written statement as a addendum, if you will, to this and what is in your file. And I think that's only a reasonable courtesy to anyone who wants a clarification, because in most cases, if any one of us want to go back to the record, we aren't going to take the time to listen to 2 hours of tape, but we'll want to come and come to something like this. And now I think it's appropriate that a person with a concern should be able to file an addendum to be attached to your official written copy in your file.
The committee is here, what about taking that?
Well, we could reproduce that addendum with the following minutes.
Sure.
And everyone would have it on hand.
Fine.
Would the committee consider that and work out the mechanics, please?
I think it's one valid.
All right. So we resolve that part of it. Any other comments or objections, clarifications to the minutes only? The minutes.
On second page two, it refers to the fact that Mr. Rendon's answer was not acceptable. I would like to say that that was the first time I had been invited, and I had a previous commitment that was 4 years old. When my son started as a freshman, he was to graduate on June the 7th, and I went to his graduation, and I feel that that is an acceptable excuse, so I'd like to have that corrected.
What page are you on?
Second, or two page twos, the second page two, the top paragraph.
We did pretty well, we got two twos, huh? Two twos. All right.
Top paragraph, but I feel that...
Oh, yes, I see.
Yeah.
Would the committee take note of that? Any comments on that?
Where is
yes, we have so many lists of official dialoguers. This is why we compile all these lists, and we have come up with a formal list of official dialoguers so that this will not be happening again.
But I don't think that's his point, though. His point
no,
is
that's
that
not my point.
His point is that you have indicted him unjustly, and he feels that
correct.
You should do something about it. So I move that we rescind the previous action and give him an acceptable excuse.
In other words, if you're saying
I think it can be resolved that way, then. How is that, Mr. Rendon? Committee? Mata? Mary? Would you make official note that on 2-2, first paragraph, as Reverend Oxley said, make it an acceptable excuse.
Yes.
And that clarifies everything there. Any objections
to that?
This
was not an official observation of the dialogue that it was not acceptable. This was an individual observation, and this records an individual observation. I don't think that it necessarily follows that the dialogue took that position, but I can see where somebody who reads these minutes might assume that, and it ought to be clarified. Certainly the dialogue can't take that kind of a position, that it's not acceptable when somebody's going to attend the graduation of one of their children.
Well, we can clarify by stipulating the context in which it was said.
That right. It was officially
okay. We can resolve that with a few lines of symbols we call writing. Any other comments, objections? Committee, did you make official notes of those two or three points there so you can get those mechanics out of the way? Any other mechanics? Before we move on then to the agenda, so the minute this recording method be accepted, any objections to that? Mary, then, and the committee will have this format to continue with. Further reporting on your committee before we get to the agenda?
I think that's what I just mentioned, that we took the minutes, we identified the issue, we came up with the agenda, we met again, and we determined that these points have been described, documented to a great detail in the Citizens Committee on Education, which was chaired by Judge Lindsay in 1966. We met again with Mr. Butler with the purpose of drafting a bill of
particulars.
And again, we came with the conclusion, to the conclusion, that we have enough material in the citizen's report that does involve the points delineated in the agenda and that this should be the content of our report, at least until we can come to some resolution. Specifically, that the Board of Education or the representatives, as well as the Bridgewater,
what's the context of today?
Yes.
All right. Any other comments before we get right down to the agenda?
In looking at the minutes, I was absent. I was out of the city, and I guess that's an official.
Your son was not graduating. You were just out of the city.
He graduated, but I was out of the city. not the day he graduated. But in some of these paragraphs, we notice that there are some criticisms levied at various, dealing with counseling programs
an intimidation by the administration is a bit confusing, because it would appear to me by just looking at the minutes that the whole school board, unified school board, is under this same indictment, when I feel that they're talking about specific instances at various schools. I think it should be spelled out in there what school they were talking about and the administration referred to in that particular school. Because it appears here, when you read the minutes, someone said that the administration, lack of or communication between the school administrator and the community. Well, now, I don't think that they mean what is stated here. I don't know what the lady had in mind that made the statement, what school she was referring to.
And what page are you on?
I'm on page two. First two or two, second two. in two paragraphs in the middle of the page, one dealing with Mrs. Walker's statement, the other one dealing with Mrs. Freeman's statement. I think she mentioned, she spells out hers at Lincoln High School, but the other one is a general statement concerning the administration. This is the one lady.
All right, I think, if I may comment on that.
Yes,
I think the difficulty in, when people are just reporting, as you know, the difficulty is they are really expressing a feeling, a generalization many times, this feeling, frustration, as opposed to a specific school, though the incident happened at the school. And it seems to me that when it starts out with Mrs. Walker criticized, it identifies there who the person is. I think one identification that may be added to clarify what you're saying is that Mrs. Walker, as one of those citizens invited, and then we could go on with that. Any other comments on that?
Yeah, well, I think my point is that you have to deal with a specific school, because this is where the thing happened. This is a general statement here that the administration of the San Diego Unified School System is a hostile group which intimidates people when they raise questions. But I think they're talking about particular schools, X or Y, Z schools. I don't think they mean what is inferred here by just looking at the minute. The new person come and look at the minute. They say, well, the school system, the total administration is a hard group to get along with.
Well, of course, it's the person.
That's what her feeling was.
Yeah, and it might be true, but I mean, I don't think that's what she referred to. It may not be true.
I don't believe she identified in this context any particular school. She was stating her feeling about the school administration. Now, her feeling is based upon experience that she had, from which she may have generalized too greatly, but nevertheless, this is an expression of her feeling, and I don't see how we in our minutes can then edit them to add to it. She meant this when she said that, you know. This is what she said. This is what she said.
Yeah, well, it's my ignorance because of my absence.
Yeah.
But I was trying to get the continuity between the two paragraphs, between the two ladies' statements. One lady specifies the school, and the other lady just makes a general statement. That's what I was referring to. I understand now. It's
okay.
Clear.
Yeah. Please. Any other? Any other reaction? If not, then let's move on to the agenda, which you have on top of that. We have today, let me now recap, since it's the first time we move directly into the format, let me recap so we'll know exactly what we're doing. Everyone will be on the same frequency, at least to start with. First, the last time we had a general discussion, as alluded to there, for example, by that one paragraph, Mrs. Walker, Mrs. Freeman, and others, we had a general dialoguing discussion of feelings, frustrations, perceptions with regard to school issues. Feelings, generalized, specified, what have you. From that, then, the committee met and invited persons from the school district to speak to the bill of particulars that followed that general discussion. The last time, then, we had a general dialogue about these issues. And as most of you recall, it was very beneficial, fruitful, heated at times, but very full, continuous dialogue. From all of that, we have expected certain kinds of things to be discussed today in terms of reporting back or in terms of reactions to or responses to by school personnel. So today we're going to listen to school personnel react, interact with us, present, and get discussing it all those things that they have brought to us or have prepared for us in terms of responses. Dr. Hall is here, one of the official dialoguers. I will now ask him to take up whatever manner you wish or make any comment you wish, Dr. Hall.
Thanks, Gerald. I also was not present 2 weeks ago. It was because the superintendent was in Sacramento meeting with the governor, and I needed to represent him in a what was term negotiation relative to three major projects that will materially benefit the children in the schools that are under discussion. And if time permits, we may come back to that later. I did have very good people here as representing me and listening to the presentation. It was our collective conclusion that, in general, the concerns were related to the quality of the instructional program in the schools of southeast and south central portion of the city. And there was very special concern in the areas related to counseling and advising. With this in mind, I would like to ask Jack Stone, who is the and incidentally, it seems to be more secondary than elementary. That's why we would like to start with secondary. Jack Stone is the director for the secondary schools of this particular area, and I'd like him to introduce a special team of staff that are on duty now doing special things, and have a report there. So, Jack, would you introduce and then move on to the other people?
Yes. I might preface by saying for the last 2 months we've been involved in intensive planning, looking toward the summer as an opportunity to expand some of the things that's difficult to do during the year. We just recently got word from Sacramento that our request was finally funded, but we have present today parent counselors and community relations coordinators from representing the four or five schools that were mentioned last time, Morris, Lincoln, O'Farrell, Gompers, and Memorial. And so I'd like to introduce them and then ask each of them to report on the specific activities and programs that are outlined and underway at their school. Mr. Collum at Gompers, Mr. Cook, O'Farrell, Mr. Bray at O'Farrell, Mr. White, Memorial and Moores, Mrs. Anderson, Lincoln. And we did.
I interrupt. Where are you, Mexican American?
Virginia High School. Mrs. Sanchez is sitting right beside you.
And that's all?
She works with.
Yes, but where?
The school.
No, reflection. But who is representing the Mexican American?
I'm not introducing these people as ethnic.
You don't have to.
The schools that you mentioned last time were these. You didn't mention San Diego High School. But at any rate, I'd like to ask them to report on the programs that are underway as a part of the school. I don't know, did you line up who's going to...
Is that on the record, by the way? Is that on the record that... was the statement I made?
Yes, this is the tape. We can come back if you have other questions there and record that so that. Sam, would you come on in? Mr. Lawson? Here's the seat over here. Over here, Mr. Lawson. Let me finish verifying. If you wish to later on state a concern more succinctly than you did after the presentation or during it, we'll be sure that it's recorded as you want it recorded. Okay?
Mr. Al Cook and myself will give you a summary of the program that we are working out of O'Farrell Junior High School this summer. And you might have questions later after we've reported to you. I'm going to read you a summary of the objective of the program. The program at O'Farrell Junior High School is called Operation Bridges. The objectives are to improve the lines of communication between O'Farrell Junior High School and the diversified community that it serves, to work in every manner available to make members of minority groups in the community feel that O'Farrell Junior High School is their school. And of course, we have a real nice group as far as O'Farrell Junior High School is concerned. It is desegregated. We have approximately 60% Caucasian students, 30-some percent Negro students, and of course, the remaining students are Oriental and Mexican-American. To improve the situation as it relates to underprivileged and minority groups, to discover which community organizations can and will work cooperatively with the city schools, to establish a working relationship with these organizations, to involve mass media in dissemination of plans and progress wherever possible. And a major part of this program is to target 100 incoming 7th grade students in basic skills, concentrating on varied instruction, enrichment experiences, and additional counseling. However, the program is not limited to the 100 students who are considered target students. Mr. L. Cook will now give you a summary of the parent counseling program that is outlined.
This program and the students involved are called a Get Set program. As George said, this consists of approximately 100 incoming youngsters. Now, these children have problems in one or more of the basic skills areas. It is also designed to introduce the youngsters to lab experiences in science, for the humanities, and cultural enrichment. We are planning to teach and expose all these Get Set children to the cultural history and contributions of African, Mexican, and Oriental Americans. I will meet periodically with parents of our Get Set students to, first of all, interpret the program, suggest ways in which parents can help the child and the school, to elicit suggestions from parents, particularly about the needs of their children, to discuss areas of educational concerns of their home and the community. I will also be having individual counseling sessions with the children, make home calls on those who have personal, social, and particular academic problems. I might as well talk about our extended day program.
Yes, go ahead.
We have four programs lined up for the afternoon and evening. One is a physical education and recreation program, which we will be starting from 1 o'clock in the afternoon until 5. This will be open to all of the youngsters in our community and will be directed by a certified member of our PE staff, who will also have some other youngsters helping to supervise. The second is the Father-Son Industrial Arts Program, which has been in existence since February. Again, this will be directed by a certified member of our staff, and it will run from 6 o'clock until 9:30, and it's a Father-Son Industrial Arts Program. And we have had success. We have over 30 fathers and sons participating in that program now. The second one, akin to that, will be a mother-daughter home economics program. It will run concurrently, again, directed and supervised by a member of our staff. And we're hoping that the mothers and daughters, for one reason, can get together and go and make some wardrobes for the coming school year. The last one, and one we have worked and tried to a great deal of success in the past, will be our library program. This will be open from 6 till 10, and of course, will be open to everyone. Mr. Frey will give you fill in again on some of the community relations aspects.
The community relations aspects are as follows. Now, we're organizing meetings within the community. We draw from approximately seven distinct communities around O'Farrell Junior High School. Some of them are Lomita Village, Valencia Park, and Canto O'Farrell Park, Paradise Hill, the Skyline community, and Emerald Hill. And what we're doing is having coffee hours in homes. We're not waiting for the parents to come to the school. We're going to the parents and organizing these coffee hours so that we can discuss objectively some of the situations. We're not going on the defensive. We're asking parents, what do you want of the schools? What can we do for you? We're also trying to discover community organizations which will work cooperatively with the city schools. For instance, we have contacted church groups. Last evening, I presented this program to the NAACP, and I asked them for help. I've also contacted Mrs. Evans at the Urban League, and she has given me some help with the tutorial program. We are also hiring our community aides. These are people out of the community around O'Farrell Junior High School to help in the supervision of students passing to and from class and classes, and also during the lunch hours. We are also hiring youth corps personnel to work as switchboard operators, work as typists, custodial workers, and gardeners. We are also staffing a rumor center, and the purpose of this rumor center is an invitation to parents to call the school regarding the policies of the school. I'm going to pass out some leaflets. I'll pass some this way and some the other way, and you can get one of these. You can call into the school at any time to discuss the policies of the school. Pass some more that way. That summarizes the program at O'Farrell Junior High School. If you have any questions at this time, you might direct them to Mr. Cook and myself.
I wonder if we could hold the questions to the end of the presentation and then get them at once. Could we go to a conference then?
Aside from certain specifics in the program outlined, our program at Joppers Junior High School is somewhat the same. We do have in our program certain arts and crafts, photography clubs, athletic activities, as was mentioned by Mr. Frey. And our library, too, will be open from the hours of 1 through 5. We have scheduled field trips that we feel will be beneficial to the students who will be participating in this program. The thing that we certainly hope is that we do involve the parents of the community, and we will be contacting parents and having coffee clutches, as was mentioned also. As you can see, the program will be very similar except for certain specifics. Our aim is to furnish educational and recreational activities of a wholesome and constructive nature for the people in the immediate community of Joppers Junior High School. And the implementation of this program will certainly be brought about, if it is to be successful, by not only the certificated people and other people there on the staff, but through community involvement. I think that you will, looking at the pass-out sheets and so forth, have some idea of what this program entails. Thank you.
Mr. White, do you want to report next?
Our program is similar to the one at O'Farrell.
It's still at Comfort Memorial.
Morris.
Yeah, but you've got to know when you change that.
Oh, yeah. I'm at Morris Senior High School. Our program is somewhat similar to the ones that's being presented at both Gompers and O'Farrell. However, we are going to try to emphasize the fact that we do have poor parent participation. And by some way, we are hoping to do something that will influence the parents to come out to our activities to visit our schools. Now, I have been working in a location where seemingly women are more active than men, and this is one of our prime projects, is to try to include men, to try to motivate them to take a more active part in the school activities. Another facet of our program is that of recreation. In this area, we don't have the portable swimming pool as we have in the other areas. So we are going to include into our field trip swimming excursions. That is to take a number of students each day to some pool by which they may take advantage of some of the activities that happen in other areas. Other than this, these are the few things that we're adding to our program. It's basically the same as at O'Farrell and Gonsley.
Mrs. Anderson, for Lincoln Heights.
I was wondering if before I presented our summer program, I might react to something I saw in this minute about the counseling situation. I noticed that it was said something about the lack of credentialed counselors, and I would just like to mention that Lincoln, wherein we have 8 counselors and only 2 are not credentialed, only 1 is a coach. The others come from various departments of the of the school, business department, Highwoods English, industrial arts, and so forth. So I think we're pretty well represented as far as various departments are concerned. I also was a little concerned about the statement wherein this young girl said that she was notified rather late that she did not have her American government, that she was had not fulfilled the requirements for graduation. And I know, as I have been instrumental in sending out in October letters to parents and formulating a meeting so that we may discuss with these parents the requirements of graduation, and particularly we send them to those parents whose children are deficient at that particular time as far as graduation is concerned. Whether the parents come to the meeting or not, this is part of the problem because parents are busy about other things, but all throughout the year they are contacted to say, look, remember, your child is not doing this or your child is not doing that. So if this was the case, then this was an unfortunate incident. But generally, parents do know very far in advance whether their child is meeting the requirements or not. Also at Lincoln, I've been very pleased as I sit in the counseling office to realize that our counselors are doing more than changing programs and disciplining. They have taken time to call in students to talk about their vocational or professional aspirations. I would welcome any of you to come to Lincoln, and you'll notice right on their cards what they want to do and how they have been programmed. Once in a while, we might have to say to a student, I'm sorry, we do not feel this is the best program for you because of this and this and this. However, if the student or parent insists that this child takes this program, then of course we try to follow it. However, we would like to think that the parent has some confidence in us as trained counselors to help that child to be where he is going to be most productive and most successful with the least number of frustrations. So this may be sometimes why the program has been changed other than what that student may want to do. 9 times out of 10, though, that child follows the program that he wants to follow or his parent says that he would like to follow. That is on the counseling situation. I would like, though, to tell you about our program for the summer, which I consider a very exciting program, and in some cases, unique. Our objectives are these: to improve communication between the parents and the school. We know that even as I, as parent counselor, that we cannot get to as many parents as we'd like, and never, even if I did, there's always need for closer communication between the school and the parents. And also to improve communication between other community persons in the school. There's other persons, just because they do not have children in the school, who are equally concerned as to what is going on in our schools. To give parents an opportunity to know the types of programs offered at the school, and also to give parents an opportunity to express their concerns about the school. To develop a warm and welcome school image so that the school will become a center of activity,
to unite parents so that they may help in soliciting other parents and community persons. We want the parents to help us. And unfortunately, since we can't get to all the parents, we're hoping that other parents can do this for us. To foster a closer relationship between the parents and the students, and to aid parents in understanding their role in the learning experience of the students. Our program is threefold. We're hoping to get the help of the Area Council Community Action, I don't know if that's what's coming to, and helping to help us with this and getting to parents and to community persons who we really and truly want to be involved with. I would like to mention, too, that we know that, at least I feel, that the Mexican American has been overlooked. So when we get ready to get our community aides and our TAs, we're very, very certain that's one of the requirements, that half of these people will be Mexican American. We need them anyway, because I'm going to need them for interpreters. I need them to help relate to other Mexican Americans, and so they're going to be a very, very vital part of our program. We too hope to go to have meetings within the community and meetings on the school function. In fact, we hope that parents will tell us how they would like for us to communicate with them throughout the summer program. In addition to this, we're planning on programs on Mondays and on 2 days a week with two different groups of parents and students who will come to the school for various kinds of discussions, and then once a week they'll go out on field trips outside of San Diego City. We're hoping to go into the county more to see some of the various things that are there, or if necessary, to take them to a concert or to a baseball game, anything that they feel that they would like to experience that they've not had a chance to go to before. In addition to this, the school is going to be open afternoons and evenings with these various kinds of shops. We have the auto shop, wherein there'll be minor tune-ups, brake jobs, wheel balancing, and packing. The recreational PE program is going to take care of two men and two women, in which we're going to have various kinds of athletic competitions such as badminton and tennis, run for your life program, and other sort of somewhat structured. It isn't just going to be that we throw a ball out and say you're here. We want to have another very meaningful experience. And graphic arts is going to be techniques of picture taking, the developing of pictures, printing and photography, homemaking, only sewing with a concentration on back to school clothes. In art, there will be clay, ceramics, and painting instructions. In music, the vocal music and the verse choir. We would like to have instrumental, but we aren't sure we're going to be able to staff that. So a lot of this does depend upon our staffing. In typing, beginning typing and improvement in typing. Speech and drama workshop. In electrical shop, there'll be a chance for small appliance repairs, such as radios and toasters. Some TV repair and a TV checkup, and some basic instruction in electricity. In the library, it'll be general circulation, and we're going to have a study hour for the young people, or story hour for the young people. We're going to try to do something as much as possible with our 6 to 11 age group, too, because they are part of our community, even though we are a secondary school. We want group student dialogue sessions. Some weeks ago, Crawford High School said that they would like to have some type of dialogue with other schools, and we hope to try to implement this. We are also going to have drafting, give blueprint preparation, and lettering. These are the type of activities that will be going on at Lincoln this summer.
What has been described to you, I hope it's clear, is in addition to the regular summer session that's operating in the morning at each of these sites. You have at your seat several pieces of material that give you a picture of the overall total program, and not only these tools, but in other tools for the combat program. This piece of material titled Extension of Summer Program is a summary of the kind of program that's just been described. The leaflet, of course, that has ESEA, an overview picture of the Center Education Program funded under the Elementary Secondary Act, that's operating in these schools. The booklet that I don't have a copy of, that has the harbor on the front of it, is a summary of the total program. And the one that is green, the title Reading Demonstration, is a report of a special concentration on a reading program at Memorial. I think Dr. Paul, this was a portion of the agenda that had to do with what's happening this summer.
Could I clarify regarding these two publications with pictures? For each of the special programs that we operate under project approval, we are required to do an evaluation and to make a report back to whatever be the unit that approved the funding of the project. So this is a requirement that, and what you have in front of you are the reports for the year 66-67, which would have been prepared during the summer of 67, and we have them as a published report. Right now, we're in the process of preparing similar evaluations for the year that is just now finished. They will be prepared in the next 6 to 8 weeks, and we will be making an updated report or evaluation of this type for the current year. If I could move on, Carol, and again, as we noted, the concerns expressed at the meeting 2 years ago, there was clearly much concern for the function and role of counselors, advisors, and in this particular area. I'd like to refer to the fact that in the committee authorized by the Board of Education of Citizens to study equal educational opportunity, this is the one that Judge Lindsley was the chairman. There, in that report, there were expressed much concern for the quality and organization of counseling and advising. This, following that report, the Board of Education, the district, and more particularly the secondary division, recognized that this was an area that needed study in depth. And the study I'm referring to is not exclusively related to the target area. It's a study that was regarding the total organization and design for counseling. It was conducted with involvement of many people during all of the school year 66-67. Now it happens that Jack Stone, as a secondary director, drew the assignment of directing that study and making the report, which was made to the Board of Education just about a year ago now, and has been the basis for action taken during the year just being completed. And I'd like to ask Dr. Stone to report the findings of the study, the recommendations of the study, and then to give some indication as to what has happened in the period since the report was made.
Thank you, Stan.
Did we react to the statements made before?
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's correct. We had a portion.
I have one.
Let's drop back to the first
level. Reactions into that part first and move into the second level.
I agree.
Dr. Stone, you mentioned Memorial. Besides the English second language, what other program do you have orientated for the Spanish speaking?
Mr.
White,
would you want to comment on that?
Or Memorial.
Mr. Sanchez.
Well, a component in our reading demonstration program, which is reported in the green booklet, is designed specifically for the youngster who has a bilingual experience. In fact, two components are. We have one group of youngsters identified as needing language-oriented instruction because of the fact that they've had the two language experiences. And then we have a series of classes in reading that is also offered for kids who are now enrolled in English as a second language. We also have at Memorial a bilingual Mexican-American counselor assigned as the parent counselor to deal with all the parents who prefer to speak in Spanish. This counselor is assigned to work with the youngsters in English as a second language as well. I would like to also add some of things that are going on now that are a little bit beyond what is going on by that was already reported. We are in the process of gearing up for the instructional improvement programs in the fall. There are some of us here who are involved right now in the curriculum writing. We are developing materials, kits of information, guides in the areas of bilingual instruction, in English as a second language, in reading itself. At Memorial, for example, on Monday, we will begin an in-service training workshop for district teachers that will deal with reading problems of the disadvantaged, or reading problems of junior high school students, actually. We are in the process, too, of hiring many youngsters to come in and assist us in the workshop. We will actually have them to administer diagnostic testing to and to also go through some of the reading experiences themselves.
Do we have any excursion or trips to someone like these other classes mentioned?
Though I'm no longer assigned to Memorial Junior High School, I have been visiting this summer, and I know that as part of the inner city program that they are now going into, the staff, the summer school staff, even yesterday, was organizing a program that's very similar to what these people have been reporting on, using the library, bringing in community involvement and enrichment activities in the afternoon.
Can I come back specifically? There is funding for field trips for the summer,
yes,
right, Jack?
As a matter of fact, as far as Memorial is concerned, the budget is larger. One other thing I think might be of interest, as a part of the summer writing program, we have somebody at work translating all of the standard district forms into Spanish so that we will have Spanish versions of the form.
Some more questions? I saw hands up all around. Yes, right?
I'd like to direct my comment to Mr. Stone. And Mr. Stone and Mr. Hall are Hall. Quite frankly, the whole report made me really sick as a Mexican-American. I think if they would stop and look at the Lindsay report that they're so familiar with, they can see that it points out that there's 10% Mexican-American and 10% black in the city. I think today, with all the programs that you have, ESEA, compensatory education, ESL, to me, go into the schools and see how they're affecting the Mexican-American child. Max Rafferty, in a Nuevas Vista conference in L.A., spoke, and he was asked, all these programs are tremendous. They're affecting, they're directed towards the child, they're directed towards the parent. But what about the teacher, his attitude, his training? What about the Mexican-American in California, who today has 75% of the Mexican-American does not even graduate from high school? Why is it today that you know the school board is quite aware of the fact that we have an 8.5-year dropout average? Why is it that we always bring Memorial up? I graduated from Memorial. We always use that as the model. We have one Mexican-American counselor in all of San Diego. One. His name is Frank Cuenca. Now, you talk about counseling, you talk about reforms, you talk about programs. I'm saying you are out of touch with reality when it comes to the Mexican-American. And what I've seen today, as far as five individuals representing the black community, and we have no representation in this, I think it's going to take more movement, and I think that's exactly what you're forcing us to bring about the same movement that happened in L.A. when Sal Castro moved out and pulled the students out of the school. And if this is what you will react to, then I'm only convinced that this is what we have to go back into our communities and wake up our own people and let them know that you are not concerned about the education of the Mexican-American child.
Mr. Chairman, may I make a point of clarification? As I understand the design for dialogue, we have a first portion, it's usually one of the meetings, for the purposes of bringing out what are the concerns, what are the perceptions, and then there is the time between for preparing answers to those things that were raised. We think we have responded to those perceptions that were brought out, the concerns, the schools in question, as brought out 2 weeks ago. We're trying to report back on those. Now, as several here know, there is an entirely additional report that would have been out of focus if we brought it in, because it had, would have been reporting on things not raised 2 weeks ago. This is the whole report that I said was the project for which I was representing the superintendent as the negotiator to firm up the projects on ESL, bilingual, bicultural, the one called bilingual, called inner city, and then the third, which is only partly related. But these first two, we were negotiating on two projects, the first of which will be funded for $250,000 for ESL, bilingual, bicultural, the second of which will be funded for $750,000 to benefit seven schools and seven schools only that are the schools wherein there is the greatest concentration of the Mexican-American students. And in this also there will be special programs and special people. Now, if this is what is requested, we will be prepared at the next meeting to make a report that is clearly and sharply focusing on that aspect. And I'm still raising the concern. This is the time to report back on those concerns raised at the previous meeting, and that's why we have organized and why we brought the people concerned here.
I simply reacted to the report that was presented to this dialogue committee.
All right, but I'm saying I would like the opportunity of making another report on this issue at the next time when we brought the people who are the ones who will be involved, and let them report at the next time.
And if that can be possible, I would
like it to. It is possible.
Right. Let's speak to more hands. Let's see if we can keep clarifying these points.
Again, I think it's my own fake thinking. Pardon me, Dr. Hall, but okay. It's just the way it impresses me. Since this is a dialogue, we have to express ourselves as we feel. It's true, there is another segment which deals with the Mexican-American, and I say that knowing quite well what the word deal with means. Now, there are Mexican-Americans at Morris, and there are Mexican-Americans at Lincoln, as well as other ethnic groups, including the Anglo and whatever it may be. There are Mexican-Americans at Gompers. There are Mexican-Americans at all these other schools. But you see, it's quite obvious to many of us that no reflection on the gentleman who reported. They submitted the reports and they were asked to. However, when you have for these schools the leadership, the evident leadership represented by five black people, what does this do to the Mexican-American child at Lincoln and O'Farrell and Gompers? So that we, and these other projects that you speak of, Dr. Hall, are primarily federally funded projects, which are really band-aid type things. We're more concerned with the inner structure. What goes on when the federal government no longer subsidizes the special programs for the Mexican American? We want to be considered as citizens in the fullest extent, and not as we'll treat you, and we will take care of the problem if we happen to get funded by the federal government. And again, it illustrates, as Frank mentioned, it illustrates the concern that the Mexican-American community has on the second-class citizen's attitude relegated to this position. Whether it be true or not, and I happen to think it is, it shows that perhaps peaceful techniques, it shows that perhaps we need to take another tack, which we do not want to. But so far we've gotten nowhere, as illustrated by this report representing not the black person at O'Farrell, not the black person at Memorial, not the black person at Lincoln. You are reporting for Lincoln and for O'Farrell and for Gompers. And when you state, for instance, that you contacted NAACP, fine, I think you should. And when you state that you contacted Urban League, I think, good, this is wonderful. But what have you done? Whom have you contacted as far as the Mexican-American community is concerned? And if you have, you didn't consider it important enough to report on it. Again, this illustrates the problem. Thank you, gentlemen.
Myra?
My concern here is that we are not addressing ourselves to the agenda. I hear a lot about recreation programs for the summer. We have not come to a consensus of the definition or content of counseling or advice or vocational counseling. And I think, again, I will support Frank's point that we are not dealing with reality. You know, we're not concerned about recreation in the Southeast at this point. Sure, you know, we can have this as an extra frosting on the cake, but we're concerned with something much more fundamental, and that is the quality and the quantity of education. And not until we discuss that are we going to be satisfied. And this applies for the Blacks, for the Mexicans, and for the Orientals, or anyone who is disadvantaged educationally. And also, the other point that I do resent tremendously is that the establishment has brought in members of the minority community to present their point of view. I think this is very poor judgment. No reflection on the gentleman, please.
Before we get to you, okay, return then.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to react to the presentation of the individual. The presentation is excellent. The program is excellent. However, Mr. Chairman, only my serious concern is this. Now, when we are dealing this school, especially in South Area, mostly minority, composed of Black, Mix, and Oriental. The presentation here, it seems to me that lacking of representation of the Oriental and the Mexican, which this school is staffed by mostly the Mexican, American, Oriental, and the Black. Perhaps maybe by stopping our personnel, maybe the program will be more effective than only one stopping one color on this segment of presentation. I'm not against of the presentation of the individual, and I'm not against with the program because the program is good. But the personnel who's going to run the program, it should be some personnel that indigenous in that community, which is composed of Oriental, Mexican, and the Black. This is my reaction to that presentation.
Well, I think you raised the same concerns then for the Orientals that were voiced over here. Judge?
The agenda committee taking the position that on this subject, the point of departure, so to speak, is the report of the Citizens Committee. And I doubt that everybody here has read it. I doubt that everybody here has particularly read those portions of the report that deal with the subject which we're discussing today. Seems to me if that's going to be a basis for discussion, at least that much ought to be before the members of this dialogue. It ought to, two ways. I could read some of it now. It's not too long. Or secondly, we're going to have it duplicated and sent out. Or thirdly, you could do both. But you're going to discuss today this aspect of it, and you're going to relate it to this study, and this study deals with the matters which are being discussed. I think it would hurt to take just a couple of minutes to read a couple of pages out of it.
May I then, before you do, see if I can delineate it clearly, all of this in proper perspective. As we discussed last time, we broke it in terms of areas. If we isolated them, it was counseling, advisor, counseling hyphen, advising, as one dimension only. Another was that of discipline as a dimension, that is the quality of discipline and the quality of counseling advising. Then we had a third area, which we touched upon then and which has been covered today, but as pointed out, not the other dimensions, and that is curriculum content. And so far, we have curriculum content. So if you are suggesting that we now listen to the point of reference there, dealing with one of these aspects,
absolutely,
which is all right unless there are objections to it before we get, we haven't received all of that report yet.
Well, particularly, I think, before we hear Dr. Stone's report about what they've done in response to this, you ought to hear this.
All right, so are
you
going
to be able to evaluate what they've done?
What area are you referring to when you say this? The curriculum, the counseling?
No, I'm talking about the auxiliary services counseling and the problems related
right
to counseling.
I'm
ready.
Yeah. Your question before we get to that may deal with this other, and then we'll come back to that.
All right. Yeah. I would like to find out, along the lines of what has been presented, what steps have been made to communicate all these various programs, all the ideas that are being presented in a constructive form, to members of the community, the families of schools involved, as well as other agencies, such as social work agencies, who are, in theory, to be providing services. One of the things that struck me is that one segment of the population is saying, we want representation, another segment says, we want. I think the basic thing is that it doesn't make a difference what, or it shouldn't be any difference as to what part of the society you belong to. It should be that the individual, whether he's black, white, yellow, red, should be entitled to the same thing as anyone else, and they shouldn't be making programs for this part or that part, because you still have poor people all the way around. So, one, I think it should be approached on an individual level, and secondly, I would like to find out how other agencies, like our community action councils in the area, Mexican American Project, so other social work agencies, can be informed as to what is going on, because there's such a total lack of informational dissemination.
All right, we understand. We understand.
Can I react to that? This is, I think, part of the reason I'm glad we had this chance to present the program, because we do want to inform everyone. I am now preparing a statement for The Voice. I have made one contact so far, Community Action. This is the first week we've been working. We are very, very much in need of a lot of publicity. We're hoping that each one of you will be our public agents. In addition, we're going to get brochures out. I think each of us has, we didn't mention in our report, but each of us has made a plan for our public, how we hope to disseminate information throughout the community. And social organizations have been listed as one of our means of doing so. We feel that we need to move as fast as possible, but of course we always have to wait to make sure we have all the facilities with which to operate, and we're just getting this okay.
Is this though for all of the participating programs, or is this just one?
May I react to that?
I would like to pass out some throw-out sheets, which we have already sent to the homes of our 100 target students. If you notice on the bottom, there is a tear-off. We insist that the youngsters put their names at the bottom when we hand them out, and we check. We ask each of our teachers to check and make sure that she gets one back for each youngster. In the past couple of weeks, we have contacted about 35 parents by phone. There are three of us who have been putting in a lot of telephone time. We will contact each parent individually, either by phone or go out to the homes. As I said, we've already contacted 100 target students. As soon as we complete this, we are going to move out and contact other parents and citizens, even those who do not have families in our school. But we are making personal contacts.
Let's get just on that point. You're getting reactions.
And also, we sent out more than 2,000 flyers on the Rumor Center, and our telephone switchboard has been flooded with calls for the last week concerning what we are doing at school. So I think the information in the immediate area surrounding O'Farrell Junior High School is being done.
Do you have any non-Spanish speaking in there?
No, we don't. Concerning the ESL program, English as a second language.
No, but I'm referring to the community up there. So if you did, you could put the Spanish in there too.
Well, I'm not aware. That's a good point, though. Well taken.
We want still reaction from the school personnel to his question before we get to others, non-school. Jordan?
Okay, I'll get Tom.
I didn't forget Tom, but they're talking about local schools.
Right.
I wanted to get that area out first.
What we have been doing
to advertise our program. Basically, we are working with target youngsters. Of these target youngsters, we are not necessarily at this point sending out any mail information, nor are we using the telephone. This week, we have contacted personally 35 parents by going to their homes, by sitting down talking with them, letting them know in person what the program is all about. Now, these, the ones that we have contacted so far, have been all signals of the community.
All right, Tom, I haven't forgot you. I just want to keep it with local schools first.
I'd like to direct this question to Dr. Stone and Dr. Hall. All these programs sound very good. They look good on paper. You have beautiful brochures you're handing out and so on. One, I'd like to ask you, how long have you had these programs in effect? I believe they've been in effect a week. About a week. And two, in terms of counseling, which you've made sound very good, and I think there are individual counselors that are doing a good job and are conscientious. There are people who are trained. But if this counseling program is so good, how come Mr. Lindsley and his committee of 35 people who represented the community, not the school district, spent two pages pointing out weaknesses? How come every time we evaluate the schools, counseling comes up as a major issue? I believe when there's a little smoke, there's fire. And these people don't just make up these problems overnight, over and over again. There must be something wrong. And yet we don't seem to be, we keep reproducing masses of paper. And I know some of you are saying that guy's unprofessional and he's really, you know, he's selling the district short. I love the district and I love teaching, and that's why I can't sit here and listen to this. Stuff. It's pitiful. May I go on, please? Just one more.
Right.
I want to get my point across then, because I may not have another chance. But why don't you invite some other teachers here? These young men are conscientious teachers, but they're also ambitious young men. They are going to sit here and talk. I had these people come up, a number of them, and tell me, you did a good job in your presentation. But today it's all glossed over in a beautiful paper mache. We're doing great. And we are trying to do some positive things. I know that, Dr. Hall. You know I've been willing to work in this area where we can. But a lot of this stuff is public relations. You know it, and I know it. Pure public relations.
We changed focuses there in a hurry, dramatically. I'd like to keep that momentum going, but we were trying to get some reactions to his concern about community relations, that is, what's happening in terms of educating the public. Now, I want to finish that area, unless we can go on with what Bob mentioned, because that's really what Marta was bringing up, too. Dr. Stone?
Well, one aspect of total community involvement, and as you mentioned, we have been working with the Park and Recreation Department and with Mr. Hodge of the Mayor's Youth Committee and with Mr. Hartsoff. Mr. Hodge is employing a full-time person, community coordinator, to make contacts into the community to acquaint people with what the programs are that are going on this summer, which is the only portion we've reported on so far, and to get them involved and into the program. And then Mr. Grange, who's here, I believe, has put an additional full-time person on each of the secondary campuses to help in conducting the program.
All right.
But this, the other thing I'd like to say is this is only one portion of our presentation. We haven't gotten to the things that deal with the rest of the concerns that were raised last night.
Yeah, I'm keeping a note here. We're doing so far all right. Barbara?
I'd like to say to Bob, I know that there are still a lot of room for improvement. Judge Lindsay's report was a year ago, right? All I'm saying is
2 years.
2 years ago. Now, in view of this report, some effort has been made to improve the counseling situation at Mencken High School, and all I did was report on the improvements that we think have been made and hope, know full well that there's still many more to report. I know that any one of us here sitting here is not representing the schools, is not so that we have reached the ultimatum in any sense, shape, or form. We too are critical of some of the things that do come up. All we are saying is that we still are very much involved, we are still very much enthusiastic, we're still looking for new ways of trying to do some of the things that we feel need improvement.
You used a term, talking about counselors, I don't know that all of us understand it, about being credentialed. What did you mean?
So we have had to get 30 hours in what we call our pupil personnel credential, meaning that you have studied at various aspects of the counseling situation. And Sacramento has to prove that you have met the requirements to receive this PPS, pupil personnel credential.
The teacher credential for counseling.
Yes, other than our general secondary, which allows us to teach.
Estelle?
I'm concerned with the child, not with public relations. I'm concerned that teachers should be found for the children. Yesterday, an ESL class was observed in this city where the teacher not only wasn't bilingual, but wasn't sensitive to the children she was teaching. She had a community aide who had no training at all in helping children. Now, I think that public relations or whoever, I don't know who the gods are up there, I don't know all the classifications and categorizations that they use in order to distort the people's minds, but they do not reach down and look for the teachers. My husband speaks both Spanish and English and was very willing to get involved in a program. A lot of people knew that he was there. He was never contacted. And I think he has had many years with this city school system. He wanted to get in with the children. They can give all some classic excuses why they didn't contact him, but they know that he was there. He is a teacher. He is very involved in the schoolroom. He is not aware of everything that's going on. His direct involvement is with the child. So I think it is the duty of the public relations, it is the duty of the recruiters. We go to Minnesota, we go to Maine, we go to Connecticut to look for teachers for the white community. We don't even look within our own system to see who's available for the teachers of the children in our community. And I'm not just talking about the child that has a language problem, because I think the Mexican American that has been here one and two generations has a very big problem too. Because he is alienated in his own society, where the child that is just coming over with hope. The other one is a hopeless child. And I really blame the city school system, who can sit here with all these beautiful, how much money did they put into that beautiful brochure? I spent thousands of dollars to have 500 and some children with 9 teachers, which I'm sure most of them do not speak Spanish.
Can I clarify?
No, I wish you wouldn't.
All right.
I wish you wouldn't, though. Mr. Butler?
Further to confuse the agenda, Carol, I noticed in our minutes we invited Mr. Rendon of Sweetwater to come next this time and be prepared to explain the high dropout rate of Mexican Americans in the Sweetwater District. I'm sure he's listening to this discussion with a great deal of interest. I'm sure it's totally irrelevant so far as he's concerned, and I'd only suggest that we be sure to get to him before the hour of noon.
May I
made a note
to.
Can
I add to that, I was in Imperial Beach, and there was a great deal of concern about the makeup of the something in the ESEA guidelines, compilation of the advisory committee. There is a lot of trouble. There's a lot of feeling there that they're not really being really truly represented there. And I think that some of the people from the CAC, without danger of having their jobs taken away from them, Mr. Katz, be able to express themselves, be able to express themselves honestly. I really want to know when the people are going to be able to express themselves honestly without fear from the powers that be. And I think that Mr. What you call it here should not be allowed to speak without someone that can speak to the feelings on this particular subject.
Carol, before we go, leave the subject of the community liaison or what?
Community liaison.
No, no, the title of the gentleman and the young lady here. Community relations. Community relations. I'm confused.
We have both represented, those who are parent counselors and those who are doing community work, and we've reported on both.
Now, what I'd like to know then, for the record, is we have the various schools represented or reporting, such as Lincoln, Gompers, O'Farrell, on and on, Memorial. Where is the person that is going to relate to the Mexican-American parents?
I think that, see if I'm reading right there, Dr. Hall, today we do not have the Mexican-American representatives here.
And I'm asking, is Mr. Amador endorsed that we have the opportunity at another one to make the report that many here know about, that will let Herb Rivera and Leonard Fierro and the other people who have...
Well, right now, though, they could name them right now. We know them. I know the answer before I even ask you.
But I'm making this point. And in part, I come back, I have been in many of these dialogue sessions, and supposedly we had a design that we're following, in which the first day be the time when concerns are raised, when perceptions are stated, and then there be the 2 weeks between to let representatives of the dialogue in an interim committee meet with the people that can present the facts, and then have a reporting back at the next meeting. And this is the one that you and I seem not to be communicating on.
I think I can clear that up. Maybe the last time, Dr. Hall, there was some misunderstanding of those who went back and to the schools. Lincoln was covered. We had some Mexican Americans express concern, just as the blacks did last time. It was our impression, based on that then, that whatever reporting came back today would concern itself with the total area that had been raised. And since you mentioned you were not here, maybe the misunderstanding came about because we expected today.
Well, this is where we're not communicating, because as I look at the ethnic breakdown at Memorial, it's 30.7 as of this, a Mexican American or Spanish surname. There may be a few Cuban refugees there. And at Logan, we have 36.5 Spanish surnames. So we're not, I can understand your statement, and it's true. You haven't been asked to specifically discuss the Mexican American problem, but I thought, and this is why I am here, is that we were going to discuss the programs in effect in the schools mentioned, such as Lincoln Memorial.
Carol, may I raise this point only? There were concerns raised regarding the dropout rate for Mexican Americans, and as I read the minutes and as I got the report, it was sharply directed at the Sweetwater District.
Well,
we assume that that is a separate one.
Let me clarify the whole thing. The last time we talked, we had one lady who was here today to give a total personal experience in Southeast. She's Mexican American. We had questions raised with regard to San Diego High School with regard to Mexican American. We had questions raised with regard to all the schools with regard to Mexican-American and Oriental and other minorities. So I'm saying I think the misunderstanding came about, and I wasn't aware of it. Otherwise, I would have suggested to you that you bring your whole team, Mexican-American, Oriental, the whole bit, so we could continue to look at the total picture, we're saying, at these schools. So the misunderstanding somewhere came about between the 2 weeks ago and your getting your team together, all right? All right, Bob, would you add that, then we'll get to the counseling, I hope.
Mr. Wayman, I'd like to suggest once again, because I think it's important that you get this, if you can, and I think you can, that you invite some teachers here to this, and invite some students here, and let them give their point of view, too. Because I think these men are sincere, and they're concerned, and they want to improve things. But I think sometimes, you know, they also are concerned about the pressures. I can't speak for them, but I think this is a factor. But once again, there are teachers who, and you know it and I know it, you counselors know it. A lot of times the counselor may be the visible scapegoat. But many of the things that are advisors, the part of the problem is they're overloaded. They have a fantastic caseload. But the job isn't being done in terms of the quote counseling. There are individuals who are doing it. Why not invite some students here? Invite some graduates here. And you don't have to just do it from San Diego High, but take a cross section of kids from a couple of years and let them come here and tell you. They'll be honest with you. Kids are pretty honest. Don't tell them short. It was too bad that the girl had a poor experience last time. She was on the spot. She was under pressure. But there are kids that are articulate and will talk. And there are also teachers who are professional and who are concerned about improving the thing and who will also give you a point of view. And it won't be a point of view in which they're concerned about their own ambitions, which you have to take into consideration. This has to be a factor when you're making a report.
All right, so we then move on to counseling. This quality is outlined in the curriculum. And if we are going to move into the counseling then, before getting reports on that aspect, let's have Judge Lindsley then delineate for us the area only, if I may ask, Judge, that deals with specifically the counseling, etc.
All right. One question, Chairman. Before he leaves, I don't know what the agenda committee intended to do. I mean, how they intended for the presentation to be made. But from looking at it, we are dealing in presentations and not personnel who execute the program. I think this is what we have a problem here: the people who are going to execute the program, and this is not on the agenda today.
It's all part of that. If you wish to raise that question later on, it's all part of it. We're talking about everything that wants to come into it. Everything.
But are you talking about education? A curriculum is a format. It has nothing to do with personnel.
We can clear it. Let me ask if somebody would.
This is my. That's what I'm trying to get clear myself. I don't know what they're doing. I'm trying to get clear what's the.
Counseling, community relations, discipline, and we can get to personnel and anything else under that. All I'm saying is we can't talk about them all at once. When you get ready,
but my point on, Mr. Chairman, is that if you have a book, the content of the book speaks for itself. Now, if you want to criticize the author, then you go into a different phase of the book.
All I'm saying is if that's a question you have,
all right.
If you manage, pinpoint that question, ask it, and let's get to that point. Follow me? And any other aspect, if you want to talk about a sidewalk.
I just want to know if my logic is clear.
Your logic might be a little warped in my logic. But I wouldn't want to say that. No, seriously. We'll get to that if you...
All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, before...
There was a comment that raised just a minute ago. I'd like to respond to the comment that was made concerning people who are in this program who are relating to the Mexican American. It just so happens here it's my particular clown. we do have a person working.
Which
I'm speaking of Donkers Junior High School. This person happens to have been at one time very deeply involved in writing a curriculum for Spanish speaking students. The name is Barba. And I think that this person works on the school site at the Gompers and will be actively involved in implementing this program.
Who was this name? Gonzalez, did you say?
Barba.
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 Barbara. Is she Spanish? She's Mexican, not Spanish.
She is a Spanish-speaking person who will help to implement.
In other words, you're English-speaking and I'm English-speaking, therefore I can relate to the black community.
Not necessarily. I don't want to get myself involved in.
You have been,
but you have been related to the black community. I mean, that's a space reality, but I'll be involved in this kind of mess. Like, I think we're too sensitive about personnel. This is what it is. I mean, and we're gonna get, we as black people have the same problem. We've been bogged down here for almost 2 years. And the first time we ever had an intelligent presentation coming back from any people that can affect change, and we jump off on a personnel tangent.
Well, we got to get back to that if that's a concern, but let's move on here. Judge?
That was good. For those who have the report and want to look at it, the material in the report relating to counseling will be found on page 77, 77, 78, 9. Page 61 deals with attitudes, including attitudes of teachers and counselors and how effective their counseling may be depending upon the attitudes. Page 115 deals with auxiliary services, and 128 the specific recommendations of the committee in the area. I'll go to page 77 first. This is the finding of the committee. Curriculum counseling practices do not meet the needs of minority group students and frequently operate to the disadvantage of the student. 1. High-quality curriculum counseling is essential if students are to have equal educational opportunities in any modern school. This is consistent with the stated policy of the city schools in the handbook they have called Planning Your Future, a handbook for parents and students. I'll quote just part of what we have in our report about that's in this book. Secondary schools have grown in enrollment, and as curriculum has become diversified, the school counselor has become more important than ever. Students in today's complex worlds have many more decisions to make. They need assistance of understanding and informed counselors to help them understand themselves, to plan for the future, and to make the right choices. The performance of the, this is the committee's finding. The performance of the curriculum counseling services falls short of the obligations assumed by the district. Abundant evidence gathered by the committee discloses that the policy is not being carried out to achieve these objectives. There are serious inadequacies in the counseling system and practice. Included in this evidence are statements of administrative staff that counseling is weak in all schools in the district. The effects of weak counseling are felt most seriously by the racial ethnic minority students. The less serious consequences result when parents are middle class, educated Anglo-Caucasians who can advise their children with which courses to select in school. Many minority group parents do not have the background to provide such home counseling. Some of these parents disvalue education. Very few of them, because of their own lack of education, participate in any form of parent and teacher association. Maybe other reasons. Their employment may keep them from having conferences with counselors during school hours. When parents are not available or are not able to participate in curriculum planning, the counselor is needed to act, as it were, in loco parentis. Educational opportunities are lost if essential educational guidance is lacking for some students. There is evidence that minority group pupils' talent is wasted when the curriculum counselor neglects to consider the individual's ability, but plans the pupil's program of study in accordance with the traditionally menial employment open to most Negroes and Mexican Americans. The effects of cultural deprivation may be perpetuated by inadequate counseling. Curriculum counseling comes too late in the student's school career. The district advises that high school programs should be outlined when the student is in the eighth grade. Actually, the eighth grade can be too late. Certain advanced senior high school language courses can be taken only by students who have attended summer school after completing the sixth grade. Pupils entering junior high school are followed by a recommendation are followed by recommendations of their sixth grade teachers. The minority group pupil sixth grade teacher is often a first year probationary teacher unacquainted with the special strengths and special needs of Negro and Mexican American pupils. Neither the child nor the parents realize that, even at this time, crucial decisions are being made that will affect the remainder of the pupil's school years and indeed the rest of his life. That is that section on counseling. Back on page 61, attitudes of administrators, teachers, and other school personnel are of major importance in achieving equal educational opportunities for minority group children. Children are unusually attitudes, whether they reflect district policy or individual values, affect behavior. Throughout the system, administrative personnel have made invidious comparison between schools in different areas. Teachers who are assigned to the minority imbalanced schools have been reported to come to the school with feelings of anxiety and fear. They sometimes feel let down by the system. They are led to believe and feel that many of the aspects of the de facto segregated school are not as good as other schools. They do not have the same rapport with the children, the parents, or the local neighborhood. This often leads to a situation in which teachers' performance is not as good as it would be elsewhere. They assume and expect that students will not do as well as students elsewhere. The result is the students are not pushed as hard as they might be, and they don't do as well as they might with more encouragement and motivation. Findings on auxiliary services. Counseling services need to be expanded and strengthened to meet the personal, social, and educational requirements of students. Administrative policy provides that counselors and advisors are chosen by each school's principal from within the staff of his school. Counseling success is dependent upon the principal's judgment and skill in picking advisors on the basis of their personal qualifications. Some secondary schools have no counselor with pupil personnel credential. In all schools, most counseling is done by advisors who work part-time in such counseling and part-time as classroom teachers. Only those who counsel more than half-time are required to have pupil personnel credential. Policy anticipates that advisors usually stay with the same group of pupils through the 3 years of a junior or senior high school. In practice, however, changes are made when the advisors receive transfers or promotion, and students may have different advisors from year to year. The job involves much paperwork, also handling of disciplinary referrals in addition to part-time teaching responsibilities. Expanding the counseling services would enable the provision of employment counseling for the terminal students. And then our recommendation is on page 128. Counseling services be professionalized. A. Personnel performing the counseling function should qualify under state requirements. B. The counseling function should be divorced from disciplinary functions. C. Counseling services include employment counseling for terminal students. D. Counseling be expanded to better meet the personal, social, and educational needs of the student. Recommendation 36, additional clerical assistance be provided to counselors. This is in substance of the parts of the report that deal, summary parts of the report that deal with counseling, although the whole aspect of it runs through the rest of the report and as much in the section on curriculum related to it also.
All right, let's move on then and now zero in on the second phase, and I'll turn over to Dr. Hall in a second. We're now going to talk about counseling, its quality, as growing out of all of the discussions leading up to now. Dr. Hall?
May I repeat what I prematurely started to say by way of introduction of Dr. Stone, noting, as Judge Lindsley has, that this report has been received by the Board of Education and the staff about 2 years ago. Much of the findings would have been about based upon that which was about 2.5 years old. Subsequent to the receipt of this report, the district, and especially the secondary division, devoted a year to the total study of counseling and advising in secondary schools. the director who did the study was Dr. Stone, and I would like him to report on the findings as made about 12 to 15 months ago and the conclusions as reported approximately a year ago. Jack?
I think I'd like to stand because I can talk back. First, let me review briefly the scope of the study. The study attempted to answer the following questions. What counseling and guidance services are needed by students? Who should be expected to provide the services? What level of training, including special credentials, etc., is desirable? What student data can be effectively and efficiently processed by data processing? What organization of counseling seems most desirable? And then the $64 question is, the school district's present staffing for counseling and advising adequate? There were other questions, but those are the main ones that the study concerned itself with. The procedure that was used in the study was to canvass by a what's known as a representative sampling technique. The recommendations of over 600 school personnel, and the sampling technique was to distribute a reaction or questionnaires to every 10th teacher taken at random from the alphabetical list of teachers. This meant that in the 600 were included classroom teachers, members of teachers' advisory committees, counselors, advisors, administrators. What I'm saying is that by taking every 10th person in an alphabetical list, there was no selection other than to make it a representative selection of the total staff of the school system. The second procedure that was used in the study was to make a statistical comparison of the guidance services provided in San Diego compared with the other large districts in California to see the extent to which our program and theirs compared. Third, a method that was used was to have a committee of professional counselors make spot visits to a representative sample of schools to get additional data that you cannot include by a questionnaire, that is to probe more deeply than the questionnaire. Finally, the Counseling Coordination Committee of the district, which is the committee that includes the designated counselor from each of the secondary schools, was asked to study the data and to make recommendations, and then to validate the recommendations. A series of meetings was held with each different type of personnel that is included in the school district. For example, a classroom teachers meeting, a meeting of advisors, a meeting of counselors, a meeting of vice principals, and so on, to review.
Speed it up to get the recommendation, otherwise you'll run out of time.
Review the findings and to solicit their recommendations. Now, just one statistic on comparison with other systems, within our own system, we found that the load in San Diego, the counseling ratio in San Diego for ESEA schools is 31 students per period per counselor. In the rest of the schools, it's 72 students per period per counselor. And as compared with other districts in California, the overall ratio for our school system is 356 students per full-time counselor as against 650 in San Francisco, 500 in Oakland, 650 in Los Angeles, and 519 in Long Beach. The recommendations that came out of this study then the major one was that a full-time head counselor position should be established in every secondary school, that this person should have the full pupil personnel credential and should have the responsibility for coordinating the guidance program for each school. Let me digress to report that last year 18 schools implemented this recommendation, and this coming year all but four schools will have implemented. With reference to advisors, it was recommended that the district policy permit the appointment of advisors full-time when such an assignment would best meet the needs of the local school. The purpose of this was to avoid mandating that every advisor should be a part-time person. And I might toss in what's already been said before, that many of the advisors have the pupil personnel credential. With regard to minimum counseling time, it was recommended that there be a firm statement of the minimum amount of counseling and advising that must be used in setting up the counseling program for each school. In other words, this is saying that each school must have at least the minimum described by the policy of the district for the counseling and advising services for that school. It was recommended that careful job descriptions be developed for counselors. This has been done, and these are a part of the personnel office program in recruiting counselors. It was recommended that continuing studies be made of the most effective way in which to utilize the present staff of the district. It was recommended that a director of counseling be appointed to coordinate the district-wide program. This too has been done. It was done last year and has been operating for the current year, and of course will continue. It was recommended that a careful schedule of in-service training opportunities be developed so that counselors and advisors were trained on the job or while they are during the year while they are at work on the job. It was recommended that there be an increase in the amount of paraprofessional or clerical assistance made available to counselors in the school, and this too has been done. It was recommended that data processing be used on a pilot basis in some schools to economize on the amount of professional time that's necessary as far as records are concerned. Five secondary schools have been involved in this pilot program of data processing this past year, and two more will be added for the coming year. Privacy, it was recommended that a study be made of the need for increasing the privacy of the counseling facilities in some of the schools. This study has been completed first by the process of having the counseling director visit every secondary school and talk with the counselors to get their recommendations. And then it is now in the process of being, that is, the construction is now going on to increase the privacy of the facilities. As a pilot program, it was further recommended that the introduction of newer counseling techniques and approaches be conducted, and particularly to try out new roles in the counseling program, specifically homeschool counselor. And you heard some of our parent counselors reporting this morning in each of the compensatory secondary schools. There is a full-time parent counselor whose job it is to be to work with target students in the school and with parents of the target students, and this person is fully credentialed. These are the basic recommendations and state of the implementation.
Because we are running short, and because we recognized some time ago here and discussed it that hardly would any one of these subjects be covered in one session in terms of reporting back, I can envision that we have 10 more just on this, as I see coming up, or 5 or 6 or what have you. I do not want you to feel that, therefore, we think we have exhausted it when we leave shortly. As you see, we're just beginning. On that, I would say that I cannot recognize anyone yet to react to that unless it's completely absolutely hot and got to say something, because we have to call on and recognize Mr. Rendon, for example, Rendon from the Sweetwater School District, and the remarks I just made refer, of course, to your being here too. We recognize we won't be able to get all of these things in any one day, and if we can do better scheduling in the sense that we won't cover certain areas and certain school districts, we'll do our best to refine it that way. So if we can hold up any reactions right now, I'd like to at least recognize and give him the opportunity to react, throw out ideas, or what have you, Serinda, from the Sweetwater School District.
Thank you. Last Monday, I did receive a special invitation to come to this meeting. I understand this is a San Diego City Citizens or Interracial Committee, and we were invited specially here today to give this report. And then 2 days later, I did receive a copy of the minutes, which indicated about the dropout report. And you might be interested to know that 5 years ago, the Sweetwater District did decide to participate in the Social Research Center in a dropout rate that would last for 5 years, another longitudinal dropout study. This was headed by Dr. Elliott from San Diego State College and Dr. Wedling and also Harlan Voss, a PhD. And we are just in the fifth year of that now, and we do not have a final report. This next year, we'll get a report. And this study started with our ninth graders in junior high and carried them through the 10th, 11th, and the 12th. And then next year, and these students were followed no matter where they moved to. If they were in our ninth grade and they moved to Japan or London or any place else, one of these men through this project interviewed. Now this is in process, and we did decide to participate there with this, and there's another school in Palo Alto that's participating along with us. Now this is a long-range thing that we don't even have a report, but our semi-final report, or I should say a progress report, a year or so ago indicated that our dropout rate was not high, as some people might think. Now, just last Friday, we did close school, and we do have a report that was just finished yesterday by our supervisor of attendance and student welfare because of the special invitation for this. He and his secretary did finish this report, and this is Russell Rogers, Supervisor of Defense and Welfare, and I'd like to call on him to give you a report for the past year, our dropout rate report, from last September until last Friday. Mr. Rogers.
In the Sweetwater District only now?
That's right. In other words, I understood I was being invited.
No, just for clarification, I wanted to be sure we understand.
Yes, we have nothing to do with any other school district, thank God.
You can see that this morning, you mean?
Well, any school, even I was talking about Grossmont, George.
I understand.
Mr. Rogers will give you this report for last year.
Well, last year we had dropout 394 total. Girls, 170. Boys, 224. total estimated minority population 3.40%. Total estimated Caucasian population 2.41%. I'll break down just the three because I think these are the three you're interested in. Under age, which would be Spanish surname, girls 13.7%, boys 20.3%.
This is what?
This is an ethnic group breakdown.
Oh,
to assist you.
Or a dropout.
Yes, that's right. Or dropout. In regards to the 394. In other words, we have taken the total 394, and to assist you, we've dropped it in an ethnic area of Spanish surname, other white, Negro, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, American Indian, and other non-white. And I will read those three that you seem to be interested in. Spanish surname.
In other words, 20% of the total dropout was Spanish boys.
Yes, that's correct.
20% of the 394.
That's correct.
Okay.
I would be other white, girls 28.7, boys 35.3. And J, the Negro, would be 1/4 of 1%, girls 1/4 of 1%, boys. Now that is on the 394, the total estimated minority population, 3.40 population, the total estimated Caucasian population, 2.01. is on our entire district population of 16,719.
Can you translate those percentages into numbers?
No, I don't have that figure. You can do it fairly readily.
In other words, our average dropout rate in the Sweetwater District is 2.36 of our student population. We have a student population of 16,719.
Well, I was just trying to make it translated into Spanish for everybody here.
I can do it on the 394 if you wish. On the Spanish surname, girls 54, boys 80. Total 134.
What schools are we talking about?
All of the three boarding schools.
Yeah, I'm not sure all of us know. We just go farther here.
Well,
that's just one of the schools. We have 13 schools.
Which school?
What's the population of San Isidro alone?
These schools include Sweetwater High, National City Junior, Granger Junior, Chula Vista High, Hilltop High, Castle Park High, Chula Vista Junior, Hilltop Junior, Castle Park Junior, Southwest Junior, Mar Vista Junior, and Mar Vista High, 13 high, junior and senior high schools. 6 high schools and 8 junior highs.
Right.
And Bonita Vista Junior.
Well, let's see if we can clarify this so everybody understands. I'm not sure from what I hear they understand yet.
The question the percentages that would be much more meaningful would be, what percent of the Spanish students enrolled dropped out?
That's what I was getting at.
White enrolled dropped out. Right. Have those figures, rather than comparing the percentages of the dropout.
Right.
I can give you that.
Well, maybe before you may I interrupt? Before you do, he made a statement of the schools that's being covered. Can we just clarify one or two things so that his statement then fits into this whole picture? The figures that he gave represent the total district.
This is correct.
Okay. All the schools you
mentioned. All secondary schools.
Okay. Now, that clarifies the question that were raised over here. Now, if you'll answer that way, we'll be in good shape.
If I may start, I think I can answer both of the last questions. Let's pick it up here. Frequency of student dropout by ethnic group. Now we're talking in numbers. Total, 394 students dropped out. Girls, 170. Boys, 224. Three figures there. Girls, boys, total dropout. Now, percentage of dropout by ethnic group based on that total of 394.
Excuse me. Now, can you do this? Let me see if I can ask you. How many Mexican-American kids are you dealing with in the total school? Can you give us that?
34.
How many?
About 5,000. 4,180.
All right, don't say another word now. 4,000 what?
180.
All right. Is everyone with us? There were 4,180 Spanish-speaking or Mexican-American kids we called,
right?
How many of those, or what percentage of those first, dropped out? How many? What we really want to know.
About 3.40.
How many? What is the number?
34. 3.40.
Hold it just a minute, please. If we'll keep them simple and we'll get there. I know what you want.
134.
134 of those 4,000 some dropped out.
That's right.
Out of the total list.
Out of 4180, she has it on the board.
Right. All right. Out of 4180.
That's right.
Now.
You use the other group, Negro?
No, other white is the second group.
Other white?
252.
Out of
12,539.
Other white. That's the combination of all those other groups.
Yes,
it's eliminated early. Okay.
And now, the third group would be Negro 2.
Two out of?
Out of the minority, the same thing, 4,180.
Oh, well. We're not going to clarify. Just, you know, keep you cool, baby. Hold it.
It did not break down.
Yeah, I understand, but the form basically. I believe it. 88. All right, 88. Is that what you want?
Yes.
Okay, 88. 88 what? Right. 88 total, Negro.
But the 88 is in the...
don't confuse it yet, I understand. All of that in there. Now,
yeah.
Mr. Rogers, the 88 is already subsumed in the other white?
No.
Hold it. Where is it? What figure does it already include?
41.
No,
all right then. You follow what I've just done, Mino? Then it's 88 Negro, two dropped out.
That's right. That's right.
Now that clarifies that point.
In addition to the 41E. All right.
Okay. All right. Any other question now? Tom?
No, that's it. You just get those percentages. You don't have to say.
Okay.
Understand.
Any other question on that alone? For clarification before we let you go.
Secondary schools only.
Secondary schools only.
Depends on what grade
yes,
level.
7 through 12.
Right. 7 through 12.
Mr. Whittington, a board member.
Yes. Mr. Rogers, any other question you want to thing you want to add to that first? All right.
We'll clarify the 4180 for us, please. What does it include?
Mexican American. How do you have your? What's the literal word? Spanish speaking or Mexican American?
Spanish surname.
All right. You hear that? Spanish surname.
Yes, that includes the schlar.
Okay, hold on a minute.
Roger. Is that the 4180 include all minorities?
I'm afraid it does not. Martin's point is well taken. He said it included Spanish surname. Now, folks,
be close.
Yes, sir. Include all minorities.
Right.
That's for your testimony. Our total population, 4180, includes all minorities.
All minorities.
All minorities.
All minorities.
Now, hold it then.
Whatever they are.
Get back to your point now. If the 4180 includes all minorities to start with,
right,
then in that number you already have
the
88. Now that's what I was asking earlier. Okay. You have 88 included, so make it just 4100, huh?
Yes.
For Mexican America?
That's close enough.
Japanese in there?
Yes.
Oriental in there?
Let me read those for you.
Okay.
Spanish surname, other white, Negro, Japanese, Chinese, Korean, American Indian, and other non-white.
So the other white, you see, is the category that includes those other minorities.
Yes.
Is everyone following on that point?
The
what?
No.
No. Now this is what he said. He said that the other white included the ones he last mentioned.
No.
No. But you clarify that point again.
Well,
Following sixth, Spanish surname, other white, Negro, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, American Indian, and other non-white are the areas that we deal with.
Right.
The total estimated minority population.
Including all what you just mentioned.
Yes.
Right.
Now that is 4,180.
Right.
The total estimated Caucasian population is 12,539.
Right.
Giving us a grand total of 16,719, which
right.
is our district population.
All right, then for total picture statistically, you'd have to add two numbers, and I don't know if it's going to confuse anything enough. Matt, is that what you're about to look at?
No, all you got to do is look at all your non-white dropouts.
That's right. The two
instead of 134, you got 134 plus 2.
252. Plus that 252.
No, Lee, that's what like.
Oh, okay. Add the 134.
So whatever other people dropped out.
Dropped out. And then you got the whole dropout. That's what I was. That's the answer.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, that's six.
Now add the 80. What is that? Six.
Two.
He ends up at 386, and he said 394.
386. 394?
That's what the total number was 394, and I think this adds up to 386.
Okay, we're around that figure somewhere.
One, two,
three, more drop
three,
drop
three, off
eight, eight, we lost two. Well, we lost two. Two just dropped out somewhere.
Two more dropped off.
I'm not going to come back if we got it, huh? Well, the point I'm making here is, keep it simple, is that the total number of dropouts, roughly as he started out by saying, is in the 388, we'll call it 388 for purposes here, out of a total minority group.
Another point, Carol.
No, out of the total group.
Out of the total group. I'm sorry, out of the total group.
Out of
16,000.
Out of 16,000.
I'm sorry.
That's right.
I made the one right up there.
Perhaps another figure that will be significant to us in areas of very high Mexican concentration, such as
right.
San Isidro. What was the percentage of dropout or the number? And then the percentages of dropout in that particular area.
And may I take that further before we get bogged down again? We would need here later then your geographical concentration areas and then look at the school ethnic compositions and get some idea of the percentage dropout based on facts. That would hold it up.
I think you need to move that decimal point up there one digit over.
What?
There's three, it is
6.3%. We are expecting ourselves around here. Hold it.
It's right.
We're just getting our mathematics straight, but we are right. It's right. So,
2 out of 88.
2 out of 88. Okay, we're close enough. We're close enough. Mathematically, we're close enough. Let me finish this other point before we turn it back to you, Mr. Rogers. What Marta raised was that if we simply look at the total district, it does not give us a picture in our mind of those pockets that are practically all Mexican American versus those that are practically all white or literally all white or all Mexican American. To get the point across,
Let's assume that. Now, this, if you understand, I'm not saying this is assume for her point, so everyone understands it is, that all the Mexican Americans that we see up there really drop out of one school. Then we'd be getting to her point. Then the picture would change. So we're simply asking that next time we continue this, complete the picture for us as you started
and
here.
And another point, if I may bring about, if the number of dropouts are presently enrolled in any adult program, which will classify them out of the dropout category.
Yes, okay.
But they have dropped out of regular school and then they have been placed in some other program.
She just asked me for further, not today. She's just opening another area with you.
I might just require to say that in our district, we do have three full-time counselors in each school. We have a continuation school. We have adult school in the afternoon. We have adult school in the evening. And we do everything we can to keep them in school. If they can't be in a regular school, we try to find some other adjustment so those people don't necessarily drop out. They end up getting their diploma, and that's what we're interested in, getting a high school diploma.
All right, let me just attempt. So we can clarify. There is a great question that for the past 50 years has not been clarified, and that's really what she's opening up. And we'll need some definitions to work on. A dropout has already assumed two different definitions as mentioned there. Marta was saying, though they drop out, in quotes, in the typical sense, though they end up getting a diploma by continuing later, that according to the common sense definition, that would be a dropout.
No, I'm
understanding, but we don't want to fight about it. I'm just clarifying it for people here.
But if a student drops out of one of our regular schools and moves to one of our other programs, such as an adult school, they are not listed or counted as a dropout.
Yeah, I'm going to cover that whole range in a second, but everybody has to know where we're going. To her, then, she took the common sense definition that he quit high school. That's what she's saying. And therefore, he might end up in all other kinds of ways. In the study done by the public school system here, for example, not the last one related, an earlier one, they went down the many different ways that dropouts are categorized or defined. And as I recall, you might recall, there were seven different ways. Now, I'm saying here, we won't be talking the same language if we don't know at every moment which of these you're talking about. Right? You remember this?
No.
I'm saying that we here are aware of all kinds of ways you define it. They're concerned with one fact. Did he quit high school? So we have to know when you speak what you are telling us. And that study the school district made, I think, is a good one to start for definition. Because it took the whole national picture, all kinds of studies for 50 years, and all kinds of definitions exist. And if you can find that study, Dr. Hall,
probably can, about 12, 15 years old.
Well, right, but the definitions are good. Excellent. I'm saying that's what Marta is raising, too.
And the implications in terms of sociological and psychological terms.
All right.
Carol, I think, pardon me, if I might speak to that a moment, and I think that
Mr. Hall have comparable positions.
All right.
Ruby.
As referred to a study that's some years old, and for the benefit of this group, we will have sometime this year, next school year, I guess we ought to put it that way, in September, October, a full report on this dropout study that Mr. Renan referred to.
That was a five-year one.
Yes, the longitudinal study.
Yes.
The statistics are now being put together on that report. And it will do the thing that Mr. Slaughter is interested in.
That's
and even more, we'll get into some of the reasons why, which is an important thing about dropouts, which we are extremely interested in. So we make this sort of a superficial study, if I might refer to it that way, to get a picture during the current year, each current year, you see, as to a dropout during the year. And we, for ourselves, say if a youngster is in another school setting, he's still in school. That's what these figures. However, the Elliott study defined it, Mr. Wayman, as you did. that if they dropped out of a high school program, then they were, in effect, a dropout.
Yeah, we just want to be sure we clarify these.
I would abide here, if we could, a little time so that we will have the benefit of this study, which I think will have far-reaching import for us in the Sweetwater Union High School District. Give us some real guidance on this dropout problem.
And one of the values we're going to receive from Dr. Elliott's study is that each student that drops out is interviewed. Why did you drop out? Didn't you like your teacher? Didn't you like... And we're going to try to do something about the reasons why they drop out. So sometime next year, we'll have a complete report. We started this 5 years ago just to do what Mr. Ruby said.
Yes, the reason I mention it is because I was involved in another district starting that same thing, and I have all those definitions.
I just want to make a short, clarification. Yeah? Maybe if I'm wrong or I'm right. When you say about Spanish surname, because my understanding is Spanish surname, it includes the Oriental. Now, will you tell me if it's, if it's that the way the interpretation is?
All right. One point of clarification just directed it.
I can answer the question for us and for them. We are required to do a state study. One of the issues in definitions was, what is the proper classification of those who are Mexican-American? We did it one way, and then there was an appeal and a clarification, so that Spanish surnames and the other whites that might otherwise be called the Angles derived, and then there is those that are Negroes, and then there are all the others that would be designated as minority. And this would include the Oriental, the Guamanian, the Samoan, and others, the other minority.
So
now,
Spanish surname does not include Mexican American yet.
The Spanish surname is primarily where we count those that you folks would say are the Mexican American.
You mean by name on the list?
By the name on the list.
Primarily by the name on the list.
Guamanians have Spanish surnames.
Filipinos have
Spanish surnames.
How about Mr. Chavez Shanghai, you see?
Yeah. Again,
the Indians. They have Chavez,
Without question, we have difficulty in conducting the survey, but we do it as best we can within the rules, and by definition, there is to be a category. There are two categories of whites, if you will. Those who are the Spanish surname and those who are the other whites. And then there is a category of Negroes, and then there is a category for other minorities. And it is difficult to do. We do it as best we can with judgment on specific cases.
Let me just make a clarification. This is most fruitful because what we are finding out is that the reactions are based on everyday living experiences, and there are laws and regulations that require other things, and the purpose in coming here is to see that difference and get the perception. I'm aware, many others are aware, of what we're talking about, and we need to get it out as we talk so that we're all talking to the same point. If I'm a Mexican American, and you're addressing something to me, and my name is Smith, I get mad because you put me down in another category. Just a minute now, this is what the whole thing is about. That if my name is Smith, I might not be picked up as Mexican American.
And they want to
be picked up as Mexican American. That's what that's about. The other part side of that coin is that if one is Chinese, Oriental, or Japanese, or Korean, and he's put in Spanish surnames, then the Spanish say that is not what they're talking about, or the Mexican American. Now that's the issue that we will continue to. Did I make myself clear? Yeah, that's the issue that national debate, and we'll have to simply clarify it, and that's why these issues are so important to put up the way we do. Now that's the whole thing. Yes.
Carol, the significance of the
the statistics that were given to us, I wonder if the school system itself has evaluated these, because as I heard them and tried to put them together, it seems to me that what they were saying is that about a quarter of the school population is Mexican American, but one third of the people who drop out of the school are Mexican American, which is a little bit higher proportion than one would normally expect. Is this the conclusion you agree?
Well, the first conclusion, I don't think we have 25% Mexican American out of the 16,000 in the whole district. We have some schools that's even a little higher than that.
National City area. So they drop out of grammar school?
Well, we don't have anything to do with the elementary. Ours is a Union High School district. We start with the seventh grade, so I have no knowledge of the elementary. But in the National City area and the San Ysidro area and the Castle Park area is where most of our Mexican Americans are. We have them in all the schools, but I mean, this is where the majority of them are. And I don't know, Mr. Rogers, offhand, what the total percentage is. Or Mr. Ruby, do you have any statistics with you?
We'd have to go a little deeper. Well, I got that from the things I heard. There were 4,100 Mexican Americans.
In the whole district.
In the whole district.
Right.
And the school population.
No.
Minority.
That's all. Not just Mexican Americans.
Okay.
All minority.
That's what we're really trying to get
all
at.
All minority. I think this is the part that's confusing.
It is.
That is all minority.
If we grouped them all, because some of them were so insignificant that we had to group them together, and that's why we came up with this figure. So that's all minority. That's the only way to get anybody.
But I'm wondering about the significance of the figures. It would seem to me that the vast proportion of these would be Mexican American. Is this unfair to suggest? Because you have 88 Negro. There may be a small percentage of Orientals. But it would be hard to conjure up any more minority people in that classification.
This may be true, but I say we can't verify that at the moment.
Can we say that for round figures, we're dealing with perhaps 4,000 Mexican Americans out of a total school population of 16,000? That would be about 25%. The number of dropouts that you talked about was 394, and of these, 134 were Mexican American. And the way I figured this out, about 34, this would be 34% of the total number of dropouts. So that what you're saying, or at least your statistics reveal, is that there are a higher proportion of Mexican Americans dropping out, and that's a fair assumption from what I've heard.
Can I speak to that in a minute? Yes. I think, in essence, you're right, Jack, in these figures. There may be a variation down as far as your percentage is concerned. You're right, we are concerned about this. And in one of our schools, Marvis High School, and I think some of the people here alluded to school that serves the San Ysidro Imperial Beach area. And this happens to be one of our Title I schools. It happens to be one of those schools in which we have concentrated a greater effort on activities, educational and cultural, to bring about a better insight into the needs of this type of youngster. And it happens to be also, as you well know, it serves San Ysidro, which is the first town, city of
California,
as the Mexican migrates to the United States. And usually this, we find in our studies, that this is where he brings his first residence in the United States. And I think here's a real problem that we're all concerned about with this youngster coming in newly into the United States, and how do you bring him into an educational program which is completely foreign to him? And many of these youngsters who are coming to us, several of them, maybe I ought to put it that way, we find are inadequately educated in their own country. And this is a real problem.
Well, let's not bring that in.
I think, Jack, you raised statistics.
May I plow through part of it?
Just please, but
one statement.
Yes. Our the grade we reach is 8 point something. I think when we're talking about a dropout, it's unrealistic to talk about a high school thing. How many of the kids get to the high school? If we're talking about dropouts, we have to look into how many drop out in grammar school. And I think you're going to find that in the South Bay area that this happens, and in other areas. But it is unrealistic even to speak of high school to a group of people that are only getting to the eighth grade.
Yeah. Let me, for the whole thing, try to, we're with you. We cannot resolve all of those today. What we need to do at this point is look at these concerns and put them in some kind of way to keep talking about them.
Yes, and we can also say that you invited people who don't have anything to do with elementary school.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
They can't talk about
that. They can't talk about your point. Let's raise it as a question.
All right.
The committee can do something about it.
That's all right.
I'd like to take what Jack said and the other statistics and interpret as a Spanish-speaking person. Interpret something. Forget all the rhetoric, all the laws, all the academics, and put what Jack said and what was said over here in just a common sense concern. What are the schools that are the Mexican schools in Sweetwater District? What are the Mexican schools? What's being done about them? What's the dropout rate there? What preparation do the teachers have in terms of those schools? Call them Mexican schools, and we get down to the basic nitty-gritty over here of what's going on. What's happening to the Mexican-American kids in Sweetwater District today on the secondary level? Dropouts, teacher preparation, special classes, and what have you. And that's really what they're asking. Am I correct?
I think Mr. Ruby alluded to that on part of one.
Yeah, I'm just coming up here so we can move on.
Yeah.
Reverend Oscar, you had your hand up.
Yeah,
and Duncan's and then the judge, and I think we might be.
Well, I'm going off on a little different thing as usual. We have been hearing in all the presentations this whole business of improved means of communication seem to be the one of our basic problems or concerns. How can we do something about this? Well, it seems to me that we should formulate some type of a resolution here on officials, that's interested citizens, in this whole problem of trying to retain CIC, because through this medium we've been able to reach some means of communication that I don't feel would have normally been reached had we been under another system of the power structure. Now, we've reached the point where CIC is beginning to get some weight. People are getting concerned about the problems of the city, and they're coming to the CIC, and they're getting, they have some measure of redress. This happens in every city. The powers that be are going to be the powers that be, and any other creature that's created by them, and it's a normal reaction. I'm not going to create anything I can't control. So if it gets to the point where I can't control it, then I label it something else and start all over again. I think that we should formulate some type of resolution to the city fathers or wherever it's supposed to go, stating our position that we want to retain CIC as it presently exists. Whatever the budget ramifications they have, I don't know anything about what they're talking about. But whatever the budget is for it, I think we should do something about it. Now, maybe it's too late. Somebody said it's too late. I don't know whether it's too late or not, because the CIC is still in existence. Secondly, I would like to, one of the greatest sins that we are guilty of in America is the sin of the lack of gratitude. I would like to make this as a resolution, from a resolution. For 1 year, we have been asking the people that could affect change to report to us. This is the first time that we have had any type of report that's been constructive other than what they have been quoting from memory. So I would like to move that Mr. Hall and the Sweetwater district school board be commended for their efforts, although we realize that this is in no wise completing all of the concerns in education, but it's a good start. And I move that these men be commended for their efforts and time, and that, that be commended for their efforts and time.
I would like to second that.
Do we have to take a motion on, or can we make it official without that?
Mr. Rendon, Mr. Hall from the San Diego Unified School System, and Mr. Rendon from the Sweetwater School District, and their committees, be commended for their presentation.
Somebody say they seconded it?
Second one.
Mr. Garrow, Eddie Garrow.
Right. Question? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The other question, I'm not sure that I can take any official resolution. Do you have a
comment? I'd like to make a comment on what Reverend Oxley, the first part of what he said, and that was...
May I be excused? I have a speaking engagement.
Thank you for coming.
I wanted to ask a question of them about before they leave. It won't be long. As I understand, this five-year study, you have contacted and followed every one of the dropouts, correct?
Dr. Elliott.
Therefore, the study of the dropouts themselves should be precisely accurate as to their racial, ethnic, national composition.
Correct.
You may not know precisely those in the school system, but you will know whether they have Spanish surnames or not, whether they are Mexican-Americans or not. They're dropouts. So in that respect, it'll be totally accurate.
Before the gentleman leave, I do have one question, if I may.
Yes.
You mean to be answered today now?
No, not. It's very simple, okay. And yet it's vital.
Okay.
And Reverend Oxley mentioned it, and it deals on the TIC, the importance of extending the area of concern countywide and with special emphasis in the South Bay, because as you notice, that a significant amount or number of Mexican Americans are in that area, and yet TIC, as it's presently constituted, does not include. They have come by special invitation, and certainly they have much to contribute and to say about the destinies of many, many Mexican Americans as they enter the country and then as they progress up the migrant trail. So I'd like to state that before they leave and get a reaction from
As you know, Ralph Daler and I are in the same spot, and if I don't get my budget ready, here's a board member who'll understand why I won't be ready. And if I am invited, I would like the opportunity to send a representative, if I know what subject's going to be discussed. If it's a personnel man, or if it's a dropout or something like that. And if you're going to extend it to the whole county. In other words, by special invitation, we could participate on whatever the subject might be. Just like we were today. In other words, I figured this was a special invitation, and I came. Even though I should be doing something else, I figured I wanted to make this initial contact. So if we're invited, well, we'll send somebody for, and I'd like to know what the agenda is, of course, so we'd know what to do.
Is that answer?
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
Would you be in support of our resolution to retain this thing? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, what little I learned today, I learned a lot.
And we would have to extend all the way to the county for you to be participating.
Well, I think it would be better if it was other parts in the county have a similar problem. Don't you think, George Hall, if we're going to include our district, it should be Grosmont and Escondido and whatever it is. I think the whole county ought to be involved.
I think you're talking about two different points, really.
Yeah. My point is, you would have to break this up to include all of these. That's my point, yeah.
Okay.
It's getting hot in the kitchen, so you can expect some people to try to shut the door.
That's right.
I was just saying, it was missing in what Reverend Oxley was saying about supporting the CIC and those of us here. Those of us here that have followed the meetings and have participated in the meetings certainly, I think, would agree that it's an important element in our community. And this, on the 25th and on the 27th, there will be budget hearings held in the City Council chambers at 9 a.m. And anyone that could attend those meetings to support to support the CIC, I certainly would be, I think it certainly would be helpful. I think this is one way you could show your support of, the, of what the CIC is doing.
I just finished my statement, or didn't get it across, the Reverend very wise, smartly, wisely. You're a sharp one. That's the voice of concern that CIC as it presently constituted, not the spirit of it, because it's done a lot of good work. I don't mean this in any derogatory sense, but as it presently constituted, is not addressing itself to the real problems of the Mexican-American,
right,
and must change if it's
right.
going to do so, but not to do away with it, but internally must change, whether through more money, personnel, or whatever. But presently, I don't feel that it's meeting the need, even a small portion of it, as in relationship to other needs.
Absolutely.
We can enlarge it if we keep it like it is. We include everybody. Without all of them.
I agree. Enough work to do.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Any other?
Last point is that I'm reminded to remind you that we do not meet next 2 weeks from now because of holiday. We meet 3 weeks from now. Would you make a note and the agenda committee, please, would you make a note to send out notices immediately, even if I have to go out first, just a note, so they can get it on the calendar. The next meeting is in 3 weeks on July 12th. Oh, it's there, is it? Yeah, okay. For those who are on long holiday. May I thank you for coming and seeing you in 3 weeks?
Excuse me, Ms. Carroll, are we going to...
Excuse me a minute, please.
Are we, unofficially, are we going to formulate a resolution committee to be at this thing, wherever they're going to have it? When is the time to present the resolution?
You put me in the wrong spot.
Have they concluded on resolving this particular...
Why don't you appoint Judge Lindy as temporary chairman? You can't...
Well, I'm in a difficult spot in my position as a judge.
Jack Cash, would you take over and talk to Reverend Oxley on that point, please? Right now, I mean, if you want to do it openly.
Well, I think we should do something if we're sincere, you know. We leave out of here, we see you in 3 weeks.
All right, let's talk about that. Would you put out just a second so we can resolve this so we don't leave it hanging?
See, we won't be together again for 3 weeks, and whatever they're going to do in 3 weeks will be over.
Carol, I think that what Reverend Oxley is saying is that all of us have participated, maybe as individuals, and also because of our positions, as executives in our organizations or public officials, have got something out of this. I think the concern that he is expressing is that if the situation has changed and if the sponsorship becomes one of a public agency, a human relations commission, will we be able to continue the same kind of a programming as we've had before? And I guess this is
We know we won't be able to do it.
Yeah. All you need to do is consider the climate in which the change is suggested to realize why it's being suggested. This body was beginning to be effective. This body was beginning to hit home.
That's right.
This body was beginning to get hot in the kitchen. And those in the kitchen couldn't stand the heat. So they want to move out of the kitchen to some other room that's a little more comfortable. And when you get there, then the heat, you know, the heat will have to be someplace else. It's not going to be taken care of by any human relations commission that is created for the specific purpose of avoiding what this group has been doing.
I think the alternatives before the group...
We should expand our geography, but we should not change our format and substance.
But as a group here, perhaps individually, and I don't know, we've always had this problem, who do we represent when we come to a CIC dialogue? Whether it be appropriate for the group itself to pass a resolution supporting the CIC as it exists right now, or the other alternatives that we have, and maybe we should use both, is to go back to our own organizations and ask them to take a position supporting the program as it exists at the moment.
Well, see, that's the point. As it exists at the moment, the Mexican American community generally cannot support it.
cannot support it?
Not as it exists, because see, we haven't been addressing ourselves to the need of the next
part. We've gone so far. But one of the things that I think is significant about the group, and I understand your concerns, Dr. Gary, I know that the Mexican-American community has felt that the time and the concerns have, because of the Negro Revolution, really, is that that they've been kind of left out. But I've heard no forum in this community in which Mexican-American people have expressed themselves as effectively and articulately as in this group. And I've sat here and listened
to the group.
The group itself is a force for change in its own small way, and it's the only group at the moment that I know of in this city and county that's trying to deal with the problems of race.
What you're telling me is you're giving me assurances that the CIC, as it presently constituted, the framework will address itself to the problems of the Mexican American
Fine.
If it isn't on the record, this is...
You should initiate it, I would feel. Formulate it, and now's a perfect time to negotiate it and get the change you want.
What do you think I'm doing?
I think should be much more specific to...
We'll start by personnel.
Kill the goose.
I agree, but I want to get this out on the open that you must put more effort, visible effort, concrete effort on the Mexican-American, which has not been evident to this point.
Yes. I think top priority, because in the whole thing, I think that Carol and has done a beautiful job, but in my association with the whole community, the community is unaware that the Mexican-American has had a problem. However, when CRC was formed as a multiracial group. So we really feel that we have been left out for the 4 years of existence.
What about the Indians and the other Orientals that have been excluded?
All right. I'd like to make a statement as a citizen. I never knew the Mexican Americans had a problem until I got involved with CIC dialogue. Yep. The fact is that you can blend in the society and you're not very noticeable. If you speak English without an accent, I don't even know you're Mexican-American. Now, if it wasn't for CIC, I never would have heard anything about it. Now, maybe they haven't been doing enough. But I know personally, I know of a Mexican-American problem. I even have friends who are Mexican-Americans and I didn't know about it. I'm glad.
The point is that CIC is in danger right now.
Whether
they got the representation of Mexican-American or not, they're in danger right now.
I will be glad as an individual to serve in any capacity if I'm called upon to support CIC.
Suppose we, Carol, did you ask me to be chairman of a resolutions committee?
Now, I would like to know, Mr. Katz, from Eddie, Mr. Garrett, are you speaking of the personnel of the CIC? I want to get it clear in the proper perspective.
I want in particular, we don't have to worry about personnel. Let's deal with the support of CIC and
let's go through. I'm a little at loss to understand.
Let's see if we can't get this. This is kind of an impromptu, spontaneous effort to... deal with a problem that we're afraid is going to get beyond us, where we won't have an opportunity to say how we feel about this organization that we're a part of and receive services from. Now, I heard Carol mention that the city hearings will be on the 25th.
Yeah, Bud mentioned. To be on the 25th and 27th at 9 a.m.
25th and 27th at 9 a.m. And I think the important thing for those meetings is that there is some effort on the part of all of the organizations that have been part of this, all the citizens in the community that have been part of dialogue, all of the good people in this county who are concerned about what I believe to be the most overriding issue of our society, that is being able to work together, whether we're black, white, or brown people, for the things we want this country to be all about. I think it's very important then that we organize ourselves to make presentations to the city council. Dr. Gary, you're talking about the Mexican American community, and there are at least five or six different organizations that are part of that. You know, they can't speak for all Mexican Americans, but they can certainly represent some of the feelings and attitudes of people. And there are concerns about whether this organization should be a public agency or whether it ought to be continue as a non-profit organization. And there are some advantages. Maybe we really need both. But I think that if we've got anything out of this program, then we have to say so, and we have to say it very strongly as groups and as an organization. I don't want to make speeches here, but I want to now solicit ideas about how we could make our feelings known and what action can we take as a group right now. You had your hand up.
I've got a question. I'm wondering exactly what the status is now. I'm confused from what I've read in the paper. As I understand it, they have taken action to move ahead with the Human Relations Commission. Is that correct?
This is a recommendation I read that the city manager has made. Perhaps we need some information. Carol, could you enlighten us on where we are?
I think, yeah, I hope I can. The recommendation that a Human Relations Commission be established in the future, X number of months from now, and that the discussion phases that were reported in the paper be initiated, that recommendation was informally, as the paper stated, I think, accepted by the city council. And as far as I know, that's the position of it. Is that
the
correct?
The council conference, Carol.
Well, they reported, no, they had the city council met right after that.
On Tuesday, the hearings will be about, at which the public, as I understand it, is entitled to speak, will be on the recommendation that this take place. In other words, this has not yet been arrived at a state where it can be implemented. The public hearing will be the, after that, the decision will be made.
Incidentally, I'm the president of CURE right now, an organization that's really just starting, and we are trying to contact some 900 people that we have in our list to advise them of the meetings this Tuesday and this Thursday, so this will be one effort that will be made to get people in attendance. I did get a copy of the city manager's report. I don't know if any of you have picked it up, but I think there are some possibilities. One, he referred to a report by the Community Welfare Council recommending a Human Relations Commission, and this point maybe could be emphasized. The report recommended the commission would determine its own programs and policies and appoint its own staff. We agree with that concept. Now, I think if possibly this is a thought, if we feel as strongly as I think many of us do about CIC, and we're concerned about the city council attitudes or what their aims are, I feel that they could clarify the whole situation right now by endorsing almost the present CIC as the Human Relations Council as an interim step, so that this would be a growing process, a development from CIC, rather than, okay, we'll get rid of CIC and put something new in. That they've already got this organization that almost fits exactly, it seems to me, what the city managers recommended. And merely by endorsing the present CIC Executive Board as the Human Relations Council, they can move ahead with continuity without rocking the boat, and to achieve the changes that have been recommended here, include the whole county, include more ethnic groups, and so forth.
Carol, one of the things that I think, and maybe Mary could explain to you, what was the rationale of the city manager's report? Why does he feel that at this time it is desirable that this become a public agency rather than a nonprofit?
I probably can't give all the issues or all the opinions, but I was sitting here thinking, it's really sad that we happen to have had all the education on the agenda today, because an entire meeting, and more than an entire meeting, I think, could be devoted to the differing perceptions that I see on both sides in this issue. I've heard from Judge Wensley that this is an attempt to sabotage the dialogue. I have never, never heard from anyone.
I wouldn't expect anybody to say it. You just
the city initiated the dialogue. Might well be known, the city did initiate the dialogue and has gone along with the concept of the dialogue since the beginning. And I really kind of resented that remark because I feel
that it's a politically accurate analysis.
The city didn't initiate the dialogue.
That is political reality. That's precisely what is happening.
No, they initiated the first meetings that eventually led to the dialogue.
This dialogue and went along with the intention.
I mean, I just wanted to make that straight.
There are a number of varying perceptions on both sides, and I wish we could have one, you know, meeting where this is hassled out as to what is seen as sabotage, what is seen for various reasons. One overpowering conception is the fact that this should indeed be a governmental agency, funded by government, supported by government, given the prestige of government and the stability of government. It is a governmental responsibility. There are, you know, varying opinions on that.
Could I get an inquiry? I mean, a little clarification, Mary, what you're saying now. The are you meaning when you said that the official who would be heading this new entity would be an elected official?
No. What's the government?
No. Meaning that it would have official status as the city of San Diego and or county of San Diego agency, which CIC does not have at this point.
What I'm seeing in my mind now is a political thing now where it's under direct control of the power structure.
You say it like a planning commission, like the planning commission. Because the point that was made in that report, which I think is a very important point, is the fact that this agency would be an independent agency in selecting its staff and its program.
Who selects the selector?
Okay, there you would have. The government would appoint.
Yeah, that's what you do. That's what I'm saying. It's a political football when you get new it.
Another point is that.
That's an important point.
I was going to make that point that. It doesn't make any difference who runs it. If you're the one that selects your board, you still got control. And another thing that don't miss is any agency that does not have the support of the Mexican and the black community is not going to be a functional agency here. And I don't care what you call it. I don't care how you do it. And so far as I can feel in the black community in San Diego, they ain't about to support no new agency that comes out of City Hall. What we need to do is to keep this one going if we can, because I know doggone well they're not going to buy that other one.
Can we get back to the strategy of the meeting? We don't have very much time. What is the best way to approach the City Council and make our views known in a way that will slow down this action so that the community can really become fully aware of what's taking place?
Yeah.
And I want to start with the ideas that we have about how we approach the council.
I wonder if maybe Mary or somebody could speak to the process that's going to take place next Tuesday and next Thursday. Somebody said 9:00, so that we can understand in order to approach to answer your question that you raised now.
Mary, could you fill us in on how they're going to run that meeting? Well, what time will it be on the agenda? How much time is reserved for discussion? What kind of decisions are expected to come out of it? Is it simply a matter of whether to provide money for the CIC or whether to actually initiate the formation of a new organization?
I think at this point the question that would be acted upon would be simply budgetary, to the extent that at the last council conference the council informally agreed with a recommendation that CIC be budgeted $20,000 a quarter for a total of $80,000. And during that interim period then, and they did not specify any period of time because they felt it would take a long period of time, there would be consultation with community groups about the formation of a joint powers agency in human relations.
But would they
but the issue that would come up, I think, would be the $20,000 budgeting for CIC on the supposition that it would keep going until such a time as we could reach a consensus of agreement on the formation of the commission.
A consensus of agreement on how to form that which you have agreed you're going to form, or a consensus on whether you form one at all or not. Now, there's a difference in what that consensus means.
I think in my mind at this point that that's a very vital point, because every feeling that I have got is that no one is going to buy a commission, and this is invariably going to come through in the series of meetings that will be planned to be held with representatives of the community.
It's the first point they'll be talking to. $80,000 versus $157,000. The decision, as you mentioned, the decision has already been made for the commission. The recommendation is that the series of meetings be held in terms of time or formation.
The decision has been made.
Carol,
the decision has been made for the commission, but I think without the feedback that invariably is going to be held, because one of the important things that was said was that we are going to consult with people about the formation of the
government,
how it would be formed, and what. Now, if you get a group of people all who say we're not going to buy a commission in any way, shape, or form, I don't possibly see how we can.
Now, I'm speaking as an individual, and I want to make it very clear, I'm not speaking as the president of the board, for the very simple reason that Wednesday at council conference was the first time we had any official knowledge of what was in the wind. Before this, we had not been approached by the city. We knew about this only by virtue of what we read in the newspapers. Therefore, our board has not had a chance, and will tomorrow, to discuss this and take whatever policy position it's going to come out with. So I want to make it clear, I'm not speaking as an individual. My perception at council conference was that we were not addressing ourselves to the question of how much budget CIC needs in order to perform its present function. The budget figure that came out was the $80,000, the $20,000 a quarter. Now, my own personal perception is that if it had not been for the fact that council feels it important to form a human relations commission on a different basis from what CIC operates, from a different basis which CIC operates now, we would have had to talk about budget. And one of the things that the board will have to consider, that the board of the present agency will have to consider, is whether, if it takes 6 months, 8 months, a year, or 2 years, if a human relations commission is going to be formed, apparently on the basis of including county, all the school districts, all the municipalities, close parentheses, then the board will have to consider whether this agency can continue to operate and give services. And I'm not addressing myself to how it will turn out, but a question of great importance will be whether on the $80,000 or the $20,000 a quarter funding, which is very slightly more than what we have been getting now and way under what we requested, the question remains as to this, and I repeat that my perception of it was that had the councilman not been partial to the idea of forming a human relations commission on a county basis, we would have been talking about budget, which in fact we did not.
So what you're really saying is that the council has already decided.
I'm saying my perception is that they're very strongly minded to this degree. Now, I have no way of knowing at the public hearing whether the public expression of sentiment will alter their position, but this is my feeling about their position based on what I just said about non-discretion budget.
I've got a rather crass comment to make, too, in terms of money. This is awesome. CIC at this point did not appear before the county or ask the county for money, and I think the city very desperately also is looking for another financial base to help out.
But the city did not ask us to go to the county. The city asked us to come in with a revised budget downward from 198, and we did precisely what they asked, came in with a budget where program and personnel was pared down to 157. That figure was not discussed. We were simply told the recommendation was that we'd be funded for $20,000 a quarter. We have not previously been funded on a quarterly basis.
No, I know. But I also think that any kind of thing that we're thinking about, whether it be CIC on the same basis, should take into account some kind of pulling in of funds from other sources, because it's a vital thing that the city council is thinking about at this point. I know that.
As I feel the sense here, that as I've been listening, everybody here wants the CIC to continue in its present form. There has been some sentiment voiced at expanding it to the county, and I believe this is about the summary of what we're talking about, and I believe I would move that the resolution proposed by Reverend Oxley be adopted, and that the committee of the articulate spokesman that we've been hearing from be constituted and be authorized to represent that viewpoint at the hearing.
No second?
No.
Okay.
That dies for lack of a second, so he won't consider it.
Well, the chairman should ask for a second.
Oh, all right, I'll ask for a second. Is there a second?
I can understand what he was speaking about when he said the articulate something. I don't know who was he referring to. Oh, well, then I can't second it. Well, first you can't second it. Well, I second it then. I second the motion.
All right, it's discussion on the resolution now.
I don't think the resolution will be done. I think many of us here will again go back to our own organizations and consult with them, and then hopefully appear next Tuesday and Thursday with a statement to which
endorse the resolution. Well, if we could take positions on everything else, why can't we take a position on this?
Yeah, we're here. We've been attending the dialogue. We know what's going on. We want it to continue. That's all. We make a resolution that it continue. With the idea as presently organized.
Just an amorphous group. Well, all right.
There's an amorphous point of not having had this meeting today dealing with that matter. I think it's still germane. Is it not possible to have such a meeting tomorrow or Monday as we perhaps should have a week ago?
Yeah. Speaking to that, then, this is a participant in looking at procedures. I think one of the things is if this had had a great deal of prior notice, this would have been a normal thing, just as the CIC board would have had a position before it went into a budget hearing.